halftime on the Don and Mike Show.
This is actual real music from real adult films, classic adult film music.
I know you like the title,
Pearl Necklace.
I like Pearl Necklace.
Yeah.
I like Pearl Necklace.
Yeah.
I like a Pearl Necklace.
Yeah. Hope nobody takes that out of context.
I like to give a Pearl Necklace.
The Don and Mike Show.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Okay.
Hi, Don and Mike.
The son of a bitch.
You got the Don and Mike Show, coming to you live, 4 hours every weekday, from the studios of WJFK, Washington, D.C., broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. You can call Don and Mike anytime for free at 877-365-3636.
That's right.
But turn your radio down. Know who would you do call. Don't call to play the name game. No calls to rape women. Don't ask when they're coming to your town. And don't call telling jokes. For you.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Or you don't know, could fill a book.
The Don and Mike Show. You can get on. Move to your left. Move to your right. The Don and Mike Show. The best thing you're going to find. The Don and Mike Show. On your radio.
What? What? What?
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hey, this is Keith.
Yeah, the Richard.
The Don and Mike. You got it?
You got it, man.
You're wrong, Mike.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
I fold my hands and softly say, Bill Hochberg, thank you for this show today. Son of Christ.
There he is.
A carpenter by trade.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
I'm Rob A. Rob Spiewak from the Don and Mike Show on WJFK, and I want to know, are you ready to help our team do a big win over the Giants today? What do you say, fans?
Rob Spiewak.
Hey, what do you say, fans?
You know, like Heloise, Phil sometimes offers helpful advice.
Oh, a hint from Phil.
Yeah, well, hints from Hochberg. Huh. Today's hint, just mop it up with a T-shirt. Never heard.
Works for me.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Friction Bumps and all the ships at sea. Say hi to America's favorite size queens, Don Geronimo. Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, size matters. And hello, and thank you for listening, everybody.
That's good, Rob.
Don and Mike Show, Westwood One's the network. Don't laugh.
come on,
guys. It's Friday, March 2. Phone number same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Oh. Our phone number, 877-365-3636.
Welcome to my world.
Make sure you stay tuned. Later, we'll be setting ourselves on fire.
Falling face forward into the fire.
Nice. Our hands will be dripping.
Miracles, I guess.
Burning flesh, dripping flesh. And then at some point, they're going to come by with some type of a...
step into my heart.
Look like a plastic kazoo, which must have been filled with morphine or something.
Yeah, that kazoo got him in a good mood.
Hey, Buzz, you got one of those kazoos?
In fact, I do.
Yeah. And as always, thanks, Bill, with you and mine.
Bill, with you and mine. Bill, with you and mine.
Well, hello and welcome to a jam-packed show today.
All right.
We got guests today. We got bits today. We got tons of stuff today. Your telephone calls today. I could tell you about the update on the dinner with Ken.
Yeah, I know you're excited about it.
I could tell you about the second kickboxing class that I took this morning.
Hiya!
But I think, you know,
yeah,
we got to start with Survivor, which
is a great show.
Unlike Temptation Island.
Are you back in the Survivor camp?
Yeah, how can you go wrong when a doofus sets his hands on fire?
That's perfect television.
Aye. However, I do have many questions about what happened to Mike, the guy who killed the pig on Survivor last night.
And he's gone forever, right? I mean, that's the one thing was not definitively answered, but I assume
he won't be back.
He won't be coming back. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, first off, what did he do, just nod off in front of the fire?
He inhaled some smoke and actually passed out and fell into the embers.
Okay. How come they didn't have a shot of that?
Well, the cameraman wasn't there at the time.
I got to think that they had a shot of it, and maybe they didn't want to show him, actually. Don't they film those guys every second of every day?
They film them all the time, but I think they missed it because if they showed the close-up of his hands with the flesh hanging off, I don't think there's anything that could be worse than that. I think that even
it would be more horrific to see the guy just kind of nod off.
Don't you think if they had that, they'd show it, though?
Fall into the fire.
Producer says they did cut some stuff out. We just don't know what stuff.
That's what I wanted to
do. I bet they had the tape of the guy falling in the fire.
I don't think they did, because when they first clicked onto it, they had the audio, and then there was sort of like herky-jerky camera. Remember, it was a bird, and then you heard a scream, and then it was like jerky video of him running to jump in the water. Like
I have a question about that water. They have to boil that water, right, when they get it out of it? Isn't that stagnant, bacteria-laden water?
Yes, it is.
That he went in there with open burns?
Your hands are on fire.
Yeah,
I mean, water is water.
Right.
Right. I mean, you would jump into toilet water if you're on fire.
Yeah, but I wonder if that caused some serious infection later on down the road.
I don't know. I'm sure they washed his wounds with fresh water once they got into camera camp.
Well, who knows? Once he got his morphine kazoo.
That was an incredible piece of medication that he really did immediately calm down once he started sucking on that thing.
What are you, high?
High?
I mean, he went from in the water, screaming,
right,
in obvious pain, and I mean really screaming, to as soon as the Survivor medical guys came by, and incidentally,
there's a doctor I want to do my next physical too.
Hey, didn't look like the Survivor doctors,
Dr. M&M,
were missing any meals.
Yeah,
I mean the medics were gigantic fat guys.
Well, that head doctor who's got the dyed blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right there, that's cause for concern. When you see the, iced tea, I mean, vanilla ice, rather, being the doctor, that's scary.
So he says, here, put this in your mouth and suck on this. Mm-hmm. Suck on this. And, like, within a minute, the eyes glaze over, and the guy goes, I love all of you guys. Meanwhile, you know, the guy's hands, they are freaking dripping with his own skin dripping off. Mm-hmm.
And I guess they had some kind of update today, right?
CBS
Morning News had some update. I didn't see that.
What is the update, Buzz?
Michael Scoopin was on the early show this morning, and he said that his hands now have almost completely healed.
My hands.
Almost got his fingerprints back, and he says he did it without the surgery that they were expecting that he was going to have to undergo, which he says is miraculous. His wife, he kept this from his family. His family didn't even know he had been injured until they saw the show last night. His wife thought he had won the $1 million.
Hey, there's a good family, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
how
do you not tell your wife that you suffered third-degree burns on your hand?
He signed the confidentiality agreement. Can't tell anybody.
Oh, well, he's an idiot, then.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. That's an awful thing to put your family through.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to wait, really, until the episode was broadcast last night.
I think they probably kept him, in Australia or wherever until he was well enough to go home without bandages.
I still don't understand how. I mean, I guess he got such a whiff of smoke that it caused him to immediately pass out.
Yeah.
It doesn't. I mean, you'd cough, you'd choke, but I mean, to immediately lose consciousness, I don't understand.
A firefighter would know more about that.
And I'm also curious about that kazoo.
Mm-hmm.
And Buzz, maybe you'd know if it was a kazoo full of weed or something. Whatever it was, they put this thing in the guy's mouth.
Right.
And 1 second later, he's like, I love all you guys.
It's
can't
terrific.
See everybody.
Do they have that in the United States? They have it in Australia, but do they have it in the United States? I'm curious about that.
I'm going to assume they do, but thank God for painkillers, because when you are in severe pain, as I was when I was admitted to the hospital for emergency surgery, there's just, you need relief from that in order to be able to function.
They give you the kazoo?
Oh, no, but 800 different other things they did.
How perfect is that? The kazoo. The kazoo, and it does.
What it looked like.
The special, the happy kazoo.
Yeah, they just put it in his mouth. They said, suck on this, you'll feel better. And like instantly, the dude was was all mellowed out.
Yeah, totally mellowed out. Where's Jennifer, whoever? Where's Roger? I can't
I love
Roger.
I love all you guys.
Meanwhile, they're all doing that.
Well, you know, I guess some of that was real.
Well, I think it was all real because, you know, you're talking about people that don't have a lot of food. You know, they're down on their nutritional luck anyway. And so anything like that that happens, it's going to be a traumatic experience.
That's the tribe that had been kicking ass.
Right.
That's the tribe that had... This guy who burned his hands off is the guy who had killed the pig.
Right.
They're the tribe that figured out how to make popcorn, right?
Mm-hmm. You're right.
I mean, they were eating relatively... pretty good. And didn't they also win the blindfold challenge so that they won the...
They did. They were kicking ass all
they
the
won
time.
The Doritos and the Mountain Dew.
Right.
I'll tell you right now, it's interesting karma that after he slaughtered that pig and killed it so violently that he fell into the fire. Perhaps there are divine powers that did not like the way he killed the pig. Because, you know, don't you think that under the guise of killing the pig for a game, it's a lot different than if you're really out there and you're killing the pig for real survival. So
Mike, why don't you just join PETA?
No, they really were hungry.
Listen, they're pigs. They're pigs. They're meant to be slaughtered. They're meant to be eaten. They're meant for pigs are meant for two things: meant to be slaughtered and eaten,
right?
And also, pigs are meant for to call disc jockeys late at night so you can hook up with them at Wendy's or at Denny's and then have quick sex with them.
I'll tell you this. Kimmy didn't fall into the fire after she refused to eat the cow's brain, though.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
There you go.
All right. Well, all right. We got plenty of calls about this, so let's get right to it. I'd love to see the dude fall into the fire. That was the one scene that was missing last night.
Think they really withheld that? Don't you think they would have at least shown something maybe pixelated or...
No.
You really think that? I'd love to know whether they had that tape.
Because I think when you draw the line of what you're going to show on network regular television...
Right.
It's different to see a guy fall into the fire rather than just, you know, you can show him go in the water... And he's like, ow, 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 ow. But he takes his hands out, and you see a little skin fall. But to see a guy fall in the fire, I think they had it, and they didn't show it.
Well, you know, if it was Fox, I might be able to make an argument about that. You know, that they but if it was Fox, they'd show
it. It was Fox, yeah.
They'd zoom in on the hand.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hi, buddy.
Hey, I watched the CBS morning show this morning, and they were talking to him. They asked that question to Mark Burdett, and... he hinted around, they have it on tape, and I got the impression from what he was talking that there might be like a videotape coming out afterwards where you can pay it and see it actually happening.
They do that.
Well, now, I would just say this, there's the CBS logic coming into play, that if in fact they have something that they could sell later that you've already seen for free.
Yeah, the parts of Survivor we couldn't show you.
Right?
They did that last time.
That reeks of CBS. Yes, sir.
This guy was, two things. This guy was in the hospital, from what I gathered from the interview, for 2 weeks. And they put him in the hospital under an alias. They paid cash for everything. Mm-hmm. And when Jane Clayson asked Mark Burdett today, well, Mike, can Michael be on Survivor 3? Without any hesitation, he looked right back at her and he said, no. He won't be on again.
Who said that? The producer?
Mark Burdett, yeah.
Oh, well, that's the rule. I mean, he, you know, something happened to him.
All right, thank
something
you.
Something happened to him, man.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how's it going?
Hi, buddy.
Hey, listen, you know, I know it sounds awful, but I think Michael did it on purpose, to be honest with you.
Oh, wait a minute.
But
the guy set his hands on fire on purpose? Why?
Well, hey, it's an easy way out.
He was most likely to win, in my opinion. I don't think he would have done that.
It's an easy way out.
How do I get off the island? I'm gonna fall into the fire.
Hey, you know what that kazoo was? That was a old Aborigine medicine. They had peyote inside of it.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Thank you, my friend.
This guy might have a point of there on the other tribe, because weren't they extremely hungry on the other tribe?
Yes, they were.
Yes. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, that guy's an idiot.
Yeah. Well, which guy? All the guy? Oh, the last guy, right?
Yeah, just the last guy. No, this is, I work in the healthcare field, and a buddy of mine was on with a company by the name of Abbott back in the 60s that developed that. It's actually a whistle, if you think of a kid's whistle.
Are you talking about the
happy kazoo?
The drug kazoo?
Yeah. Yeah, it's an inhalant, and it's actually a whistle. Instead of blowing in, you suck through, and there's a wick in there that absorbs the anesthetic. And you breathe it in, immediately goes into your bloodstream through your lungs.
Well,
and that's why it was able to react so quickly.
Well, what kind of goofballs do they have him hepped up on? What's in there?
I don't actually remember the technical name of it. I talked to him about it this morning, and he said, yeah, we had that, and they actually used to have samples of it. And he said it was really good. It was like the guy a few weeks ago used to get it. He said he got his wife all drugged up and had sex with her, passed her out.
Right.
Wasn't that drug, but it was something like that. He said it was real good back in the 60s. He says, here, babe, take a drag on this. They'd be all happy and just have their way with them after that.
Because it's obvious that they just didn't give it to the guy to help with whatever smoking had in his lungs. I mean, no.
So you're telling us that there's a chance that Michael might have been raped?
Well, you know, it could be, you know, and you know what, he did have a lot of skin off of his hands. If you do that too much, there's a possibility, you know, your own sexual satisfaction might cause that as well.
All right, thank you.
No, it was an anesthetic, and that's what it was that caused him to be relieved from the pain.
All right, thank you.
Back in the 60s. Sure thing.
You bet.
Was he making a J.O. joke?
He was trying to.
Yeah, okay. I think he was. Well, remember yesterday we had the whole thing with the guy with the bumps on his penis, and he had told his wife that he had been J.O.ing a lot.
Right. We determined he was lying.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there. You're on the air.
Listen, I've been a firefighter for 30 years, and I was a paramedic 17 of those years. I think this thing was fake. There's no way he's going to pass out from a campfire, and there's no medicine in the world you're going to suck and make the pain go away.
Well, what if he passed out for some other reason?
Well, it could be some other reason, but it wasn't the smoke.
Well, I don't think the smoke would do that.
It could be a variety of reasons. It could be that the guy was overtired.
Right.
Could be, you know, I mean,
he might have nicked his finger and looked at the blood.
That's the best medicine in the world, and we ought to get some of that in this country.
Well, if he was able to converse with the skin hanging off his hands, the anesthetic must have worked.
Yeah, but if it wasn't fake.
Well, no, he was conversing before the anesthetic with the skin hanging off his hands.
The dude's hands were burned.
I know, but then all the pain went away.
I think it's fixed.
I think the whole thing is fixed.
You think everything is fixed.
I think it was fixed when he was in there, when they were showing the skin. That was not, that was just like putty.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I work in the area. I was just commenting that I don't think the guy could have possibly fallen. Out because of the smoke. I'm a firefighter in the area, and that's pretty unlikely.
Why is it not within the realm of possibilities that the guy could have inhaled a big lung full of smoke and passed out?
Well, it's just the amount of smoke that would have to have been coming off that fire that early in the morning kind of thing. You know what I mean? He hadn't had a chance to build up. I think he just fell asleep because he also got his hands up, which meant he came to briefly before he hit. So I was just under the impression, and also I'm a paramedic, and we don't have anything like that green thing in this that I've ever worked with.
Yeah, I think that green thing was just, well, you know what it was, Don? It was a kazoo. There's nothing in there.
The kazoo.
Here, breathe into this.
Don and Mike show.
I wanted to know if you guys noticed the other guy moving around from woman to woman, massaging their shoulders, playing the sensitive role.
Yeah.
All the guys were funny, you know. All the women are crying, and the guys are like copping a feel.
Listen,
it's gonna be okay, honey. It's gonna be okay.
The first thing I noticed with the brother is the brother went right to the sister.
Right.
He went to both of them.
No. He really lingered with the sister.
He wrapped his arms around.
Yeah.
But then he put another shot. He was with the white girl too, doing the same thing.
And he was with one of the guys as well.
He's working the sensitive.
I tell you that. What's that girl's name on that tribe? Because she, in my opinion, for the length of time they've been there, is the best-looking girl just as far as how she's holding up. She looks good, even though they've been out there. You know, most of the other girls are starting to look a little gamey.
But you know the one I did like last night? Looked like she might have had some boob, and I had not thought that she had boob.
I know
before.
Who you're talking about. The one that got the message?
The girl who was laying on the rocks.
Right.
In the white bikini top.
I think that was Jerry. With the other tribe.
Jerry with the other tribe, who also picked up the message when she had a wrap.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she looks good.
But now she was laying on the rocks just to get away from everybody.
Right.
And she had lots of boob hanging out of the side of her top.
I think she's got the best body with both tribes. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Hold on. Here's another firefighter. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don. I know from my years being in the fire department, you suck up some heated gas and all that, especially... They said that day that it was really super hot, and he was already weak and hot. He sucks in some gas like that; it'll make you pass out.
They said the wood was really wet. If he'd inhaled some steam, some really hot steam directly into his lungs, could the shock of that caused him to pass out?
All right. Thank you, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi, we're doing great.
Hey, Boggs, pass that, man. Don't bogart the morphine kazoo, man.
Come on, get out of here. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello. Don Mike.
Yeah, hi.
How you doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
Hey, big fan of you guys.
I just want to let you guys know, a bunch of these goober firefighters who are calling in, letting you know that, hey, I wouldn't pass out if it was on smoke. They just don't understand it. I mean, if you're...
Hey, they serve. They're those who serve, sir. Come on.
And I'm sorry, that's correct, sir. But most of those guys are probably volunteers who just do it for the fun of, you know, sucking in smoke and stuff.
Thank you for being a friend.
For those who serve.
Never mind.
Anyways, the guys who do the real
private joke.
Understand the burning. You get carbon monoxide as a chemical that comes off of that smoke. And if you get enough of it, and the fact that these guys aren't eating correctly in any way, you're going to get weak and you're going to pass right out.
All right, well, I would just like to point out, just for the sake of argument, that tribe was eating pretty good. They had the pig, they had popcorn, they had Doritos.
Eggs, chickens.
They had Mountain Dew.
You know, if you're really tending the fire, though, that can mess your head up. I mean, that can get you real dizzy. I remember back home when we had ice storms and the power was out for really 2 weeks, and we were actually cooking and living around the fireplace, and everybody got dizzy and everybody got sick.
Mm.
Of course, we were using those kazoos.
Hello. Oh, here's a doctor. All right. Hello, doctor.
Yeah, how you doing?
It's an insult to my doctor.
Doctor.
To my daughter.
What that was a morphine inhalant. They're also used lots of times for high-altitude skiing. You know, somebody breaks their leg skiing, and that's exactly what it was.
Really?
Yep.
How much one of those babies run for? I mean, on the black market.
Tell you.
All right.
Doesn't know.
Thank you, my friend.
And I do think he could have passed out from the smoke, just from what the previous caller said.
Now, listen, are you a real doctor? Are you a psychologist? Are you a foot doctor, an eye doctor? What kind of a doctor are you?
Internist.
Ah, internist. Okay, all GP. Right. All right.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Okay, good,
all right.
Sir.
See you later. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don and Mike,
yeah.
I have to refute some of your earlier callers because I think they're way off base.
Okay.
If they had actually caught this guy on camera falling into a fire, you don't immediately get third-degree burns, and I really doubt they would let him lay there. And besides that, if you're kneeling at a fire, and it wasn't first thing in the morning, it was later on in the day.
Wait, hold on. Let me just go back to something else. If you fall into a fire, you can't get third-degree burns?
Not immediately. You have to lay there for a couple
minutes. I think what this guy is saying is that if he was, you know, if he fell in and he was in there for a while, you know, that the cameraman would have probably assisted him.
I doubt they would have let him lay there until he had third-degree burns.
The embers could have stuck to his skin, and the cameraman was instructed not to help. In fact, he was told he'd be fired on the spot.
You saw that on the morning show?
I just read it just a moment ago from the producer. He said he would have fired the cameraman on the spot if the cameraman would have helped.
How sensitive is that?
I'm telling you, I guarantee they got saved of that dude falling in the fire, and they just want you to pay $20 to buy it. That's all.
It'd be very cool if that happens.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, I think he passed out because he was, like, blown on the fire. That's what he said or whatever, to get it going. And so, you know, when you're huffing and puffing and you get all lightheaded from breathing all that much, and then he probably, like, inhaled some smoke and passed out that way.
Makes sense.
Like, I don't think he just inhaled smoke and passed out, you know?
All I know is it was a hell of a lot better than Temptation Island. I would much rather see some dude get his hands caught on fire and see him take the morphine kazoo than see Billy and Mandy decide that they're going to work it out.
Yeah, but what if Billy Cleary fell into a fire?
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Billy Cleary.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hi.
I'm Billy Cleary. I am standing in front of the fire. Whoops.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Join me and my guests around the fire tonight. Howie Mandel.
Bob Denver.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. And Burt Ward. With my special guest, Danny Bonaducci.
And a special tribute to the late Dana Plato.
Hi, this is Billy Cleary.
I'm Billy Cleary. I am now going to do my favorite fire stunt.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I saw your morning show this morning regarding that, and Mike had indicated that what happened is the fire had gone out, and he restarted the fire, and the wind changed direction and blew it into his face. And that's when he passed out.
I'm getting the sense a lot of people watched that crappy CBS early morning show today.
Yeah.
Just for the record,
they're using that Survivor show to really boost the ratings.
Yeah,
they're doing a good job with that.
If they want to beat the Today Show, they should like burn somebody every night on CBS and then tell you that you can see about it the next morning on the CBS morning show, or do something else to someone.
Oh, Mike, I'll just fall into the fire. Yeah, thanks a lot. That's great. I understand you were trying to boost the fire with your own wind.
I mean, every night on CBS, even if it's during one of the crappy shows, like Diagnosis Murder.
Or
most,
Bet,
of,
right?
most of them are crappy, yeah. And, you know, you say, if you watch Bet tonight, at some point, someone's going to slice off one of their fingers. You're going to see it tonight, and then if you want to find out about it, you have to watch The Good Morning Show tomorrow morning.
Dick Van Dyke. The murder. Unsolved at the end of the show. Tell us about it.
You know, I bet if you set Tyne Daly on fire during Judging Amy, she'd still be on fire the next morning.
She'd be like a tire.
Yeah,
we'll go forever.
She'd be like one of those tire fires.
Yeah. I told Tyne is still smoldering.
Hello. Don and Mike.
Oh, hold on. We lost that guy. All right, here's the guy who says we're missing the most important point.
Of course. Hello, Joe.
Yes.
Yes, go.
Hey, Don, you mentioned it earlier. Jerry, when she was laying down beating on that drum,
yeah.
She had a lot of breast hanging out. The whole thing. I don't know if anyone else saw it, but you touched on it, so you must have saw it.
No, I only saw her. I only saw her when
she had a lot of breast hanging out.
I only saw her when she was laying down on the rocks, and her boob was hanging out pretty much in that little
boob.
Bikini.
The whole boob.
Yeah,
dip,
but I mean, not...
Dip in everything.
I didn't see any dip.
I saw it. I don't know if anyone else...
You saw it in your own fantasy.
I know what scene you're talking about.
They showed it like three times when she was beating on that drum yelling chocolate.
God. Hey, I did enjoy the chicks talking about sex and chocolate.
Yeah.
I did. That was another good part of Survivor last night.
Sex and chocolate. Chocolate and sex together as one.
Hey, you got sex in my chocolate.
You got chocolate in my sex.
I love Don and Mike show. Two great tastes that taste great together.
Oh, it's all melted.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
The Reese's Sex Butter Cup. Imagine that. It's like a, looks like a peanut butter cup. Uh-huh, you open right. it up, it's filled with love.
Filled with
various love juices.
Now I'm all queasy.
Various secretions. Hello?
Dynamite, my brother.
Hi there.
Hi. Hey, I'm an international paramedic instructor. That was a morphine inhaler that guy was on.
That's what the guy said. He said it was a morphine inhaler.
Absolutely. They use that down in Australia all the time. The way they do that pre-hospital is very different down there.
Is it better?
It's different. They take a more holistic approach the way they do it down there than we do it up here. They don't have to deal with the Food and Drug Administration and problems and all of that.
Well, I'm thinking about my next vacation, just going to Australia, just jumping off some rock, jumping off some cliff somewhere.
Why don't you just fall into a fire?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
You're looking around all shifty-eyed.
It's really broken, I think. I'm in a lot of pain.
Hey, do you have the kazoo? Hello?
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
How you guys doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
What an idiot for falling in a fire. Who's ever been camping and fell in a fire?
Okay.
Does that even make sense?
Besides Mike.
Okay, just raise my hand. I'm sorry.
Besides Mike.
It was the morning after.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Hello.
Don and Mike?
Yes, yeah. We are.
Hey, that dude that fell in the fire, like that first caller, this other caller just said, I don't see how you fall in a fire.
Camping is bad, incidentally.
Well, camping's not bad if you use a little common sense.
No, camping sucks.
Now, listen.
Camping, you know what happens when you go camping? Let me tell you what happens when you go camping. Sure. Let me tell you a little camping. Camping story, okay?
Right,
when you go camping, what happens is you go camping for a nice weekend with your friends and you've never been camping before, and you go over and decide you're going to take some wood out of another person's campsite, and that person reaches for a gun and wants to shoot you. That's what happens.
Or else you go camping and guys want to have anal sex with you.
Right.
I saw that in that movie.
Deliverance.
Right.
That's why
you know where I go camping? It's called the Ritz-Carlton.
Fantastic. With room service. That's right.
I don't go camping unless I got 100 channels, dirty movies,
right.
24-hour room service.
And that campfire exists in the, you know, kitchen 9 floors below.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, is this Charlie?
This is Don and Mike. Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, Don, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great.
I'm sorry about that.
What can we do for you?
All right, hold on. Let me turn my radio down.
Oh, he'll be right back.
Don't have to wait.
Don and Mike. You guys. Hello.
I'm sorry.
Hello. Was he yelling Billy Cleary?
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Oh, Charlie.
Hello, come on, help me out here. Are you there?
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah, I was under the impression on Survivor last night when Jerry had that bongo going between her legs. I think she was pleasuring herself.
All right, thank you, my friend. Everyone's got a theory. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Dynamite.
You know, if it's a Temptation Island theory, it would be a Cleary theory.
Hello.
Yeah, that guy last night didn't have third-degree burns at all.
He didn't?
No. I've seen third-degree burns, and those weren't it. Those are second-degree burns, and the worst thing you wanted to do is jump in a cesspool.
Right. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, but what would you do if your hands were on fire? Wouldn't you want to go for the water?
No, not that water. Not with fish crap floating around.
Right. So what would you have done, genius?
Probably stuck them in that sand.
Good idea.
All right. Okay. All right.
Yeah, much better. You just put them in dirt.
Yeah. We'll see you next time on Cleary Island, okay?
All right. Goodbye.
Thank you, Doctor.
Here's an
goodbye.
Expert.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Don and Mike, radio gods. Hey, last night on Survivor, there was definite nip. My fiancé and I are sitting watching, we laughed, and we said, we got to call Don and Mike and tell him about that.
Your fiancé, what's her name?
No, his name.
Oh, I'm sorry.
How could I have missed the nip? I watched the whole show.
It was towards the beginning of the show when both Jerry and Amber were laying out on the beach in front of the surf, and they were talking, and Amber was laying, and it was all out. Nip. We saw Nip three times.
You saw Nip?
We laughed. It was great.
They laughed. Do you have a real short haircut?
No. Actually, my I can just about sit on it.
Are you a woman with a mullet?
A what?
A mullet.
You know, the mullet haircut.
Oh, no, honey. No.
All right.
Honey, of course not. I saw Nip.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye. See ya.
I know a lot of women. I just don't... You don't hear women say, hey, I saw Nip.
Well, maybe because she was from Waldorf. You know what I mean.
Hey, look at that, honey.
Nip.
Yeah.
Great Nip.
Fantastic. When are we getting married?
Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Don. I just was wondering, I didn't hear anybody say anything about it. I was just wondering how your feelings were when Colby got real mad at the end of the blindfold race and smashed Jerry in the face with that bucket of water.
You know, that's the part of the show where they're losing me. All of the dumb games that they play.
Yeah.
You know, like the where they put blindfolds on and someone had to tell them which way to go. That's the part of the show that they can lose.
Did you write the producers of the show requesting that there's a major accident in every episode?
God, I hope so.
They should have put campfires around by the
horse. You know, where's Raj? Well, he's gone off to pick coconuts. Oh, my God. Raj is on fire.
He's hanging from the tree.
I see Nip.
No. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Talk to Don and Mike, please.
Yeah, you're on the air with us. Hi.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, I hope they had at least the decency to evacuate that guy in the CBS jumbo jet.
Oh. Oh, you mean the jumbo jet? You got a good memory.
Right.
The jet that CBS totally cleaned out and made first class.
They fly it all the way down to Australia, and then he gets on it, and Doris Roberts is there with some soup.
If it's good enough for them, it's good enough.
Hello, dear.
Ray Romano.
Hey, welcome to the CBS jet.
You know what? Who it would be? It would be Kevin. It would probably be Kevin and Leo on the plane.
And Les Moonves.
Getting the call.
With Castro.
Big jet full of kazoos.
You know, did you say yesterday that Letterman had a big controversy about talking about Les Moonves with Castro?
Exactly, yes.
Well, you know, his monologue, I think it was last night, the first words, it was a Les Moonves joke, right at the very top of the moon. And then what he said afterwards, he said, that was just for me, folks.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Hi.
How you doing?
Hi, great, thanks.
That kazoo they were sucking on last night, that he was sucking on?
Yes.
I thought only Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble could see kazoo.
Oh, no, that's the great Gazoo.
Oh.
The character that ruined the Flintstones.
Right. That is, yeah. For those of you who want these kind of historical notes, that's when the Flintstones went bad. And this is, Mike, don't have me.
Because
I get serious about this.
You get visibly angry when you talk about this.
This is when the Flintstones sucked, when they felt the need to bring in a space alien to like 500 B.C.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, it's enough that the animals talked to Fred and Wilma.
Right.
You know, like after they got done washing the dishes with the big elephant, Troy, the elephant would go, wow, that's a bad job. That's okay.
Right.
And the fact that they drove the cars with their feet, right. I bought into that.
Play the records with the beak of the bird.
Yeah, and after he'd go, this job sucks.
I don't think he said sucks, though, back then.
But,
like that.
But when they brought the great Gazoo in.
Gazoo!
That is where they lost me.
Hello, Flintstone.
That's where they lost me. And a similar situation in Superman, when they brought Mr. McZippelix.
Right.
And when they brought Batmite into Batman.
See, then you're getting really obscure with those. You know, Batmite was very obscure.
It's the same theory with Scooby-Doo on Scooby-Doo or right. Cousin Oliver on the Brady Bunch. I mean, they're always just last-ditch efforts.
Okay, yeah, you guys get a table for two now. Okay.
But you know what?
It's starting to get a little scary right
there
now.
That could be a banquet table. Yeah. I know that there's a lot of people that feel the way we do.
True.
Andy and Mayberry, you replace Barney Fife.
I wonder how the maitre d' identifies people for that table.
The Cleary table.
Right. I don't think it's Cleary table. It would be a different guy. It would be more like the answer me these questions three
table.
When the Andy and Mayberry show went from Barney Fife to the guy who went,
Warren.
Hey, what'd you say?
Warren, played by Jack Burns.
Yes, right.
The guy that used to work with Avery Schreiber.
Burns
and Schreiber.
That's when that show went bad.
Absolutely.
But I just wanted to point out that the Great Gazoo was voiced by the marvelous Harvey Korman.
That's right.
And he did that character on Carol Burnett, too.
He'd do that
same voice
when he was the aristocratic guy.
Right.
Hello. And in fact, he did it in Blazing Saddles, too.
Pretty much.
Hello. Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, what happened to the original Barney Rubble? It seems like he totally changed persona in the second half of the season, or the whatever term.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Like, the voice changed dramatically?
Yeah. Blank had an automobile accident in season two.
And then Barney had a voice like this.
Yeah.
You know, hey, Fred, I really don't. And it was just horrible.
When Mel Blanc became conscious again, the first thing he did was talk like Barney Rubble. How creepy is that?
Don and Mike show.
Where does he have that? Where is that stored?
I didn't
got
know
it,
that either.
I got it right
I didn't
here.
Know that either. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don and Mike. This is Mike, too. Hey, I was calling to talk about Jerry. She used to be a Hooters girl.
Oh, then she got to have a great rack.
She was a lot better looking when she worked at Hooters, though.
Which one?
Mobile, Alabama, I think.
Oh, really? Is she working at the Hooters down in Mobile?
I think so, but I'm not positive. It's actually in National Enquirer. They have a picture of her when she was younger.
Actually, you know, I really do think that as far as Hooters goes, the quality of girls and the size of breast depends on how large the city is that you're in. For instance, that Hooters that's right, almost virtually the lobby of WNEW.
Yes.
It's full with girls who could be strippers. Now, I've gone to the Hooters in Ocean City, Maryland.
How? Do they have one down there now?
Yes, they do.
And how does that one rate?
And they have girls who look like they could be posing in the magazine Barely Legal.
Now, when you go to that one down in Ocean City, do you go with the family?
Oh, no. That's the treat for Bart.
Okay, Bart goes here.
Bart and his friends.
Having a son.
Love going to Hooters.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's where I say to Frida, hey, I will, you know, take the day off.
Right.
I'll take the boy and his friends to Hooters.
And the one down in Ocean City, not all that strong?
Mm-mm.
The one in Fairfax is great.
Okay.
Right here in Fairfax.
Watch it. We go in that one occasionally.
Yes, we do. Okay. No, it is good. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Hi there.
Is it Don and Mike?
The last time I was in the one in Fairfax.
Did you go with a dentist?
The one by the radio station. Yeah, they could have had the Ass Wednesday contest in there that day.
We are, you know, we might as well just forget it right now.
Mm-hmm. Hello. Hello.
Don and Mike, how you doing?
Hi, we're great.
I just wanted to bust Rob A. He pulled out a pop culture reference that was wrong. He said it was Scooby-Doo, and it was actually Scrappy-Doo.
Ah.
So, there you go, Head.
Hold on, he wants to argue with you. Hold on a second.
What's your point, sir?
I'm just saying, you pulled something out.
I know what you're saying, but what are you calling because there's two different characters. You don't remember Scooby-Doo?
I do not remember Scooby-Doo, but I remember
you
two actually going downhill with the introduction of Scrappy-Doo, which was the miniature Scooby-Doo.
Sir, are you listening? Here's a plan. First of all, don't talk when other people are talking.
Oh, my.
And second of all, watch for Scooby-Doo. He was a character that preceded Scrappy-Doo.
I will try and verify that for you.
Buh, 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 buh.
All right, thank you.
Buy yourself a big old hat there, Rob.
Okay, buy yourself a clue, sir.
All right, goodbye.
Piss off.
Goodbye. Oh, my God. You know, you have become the new ambassador of love on this show, Rob.
Yes. But he was so clearly wrong, and he wouldn't listen. He wouldn't listen to good common sense.
He's 100. You can always tell when Rob's hedging a little bit. Rob's 1,000% confident on that one.
Right. I got something to say about that.
Here's Don's final word on the matter.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Did you count them? One, two, three, four pumpers.
We're not going skiing.
www.cigars.com, the hottest cigar site on the planet. They sponsor our live on-air farts, and there are the Touchtones. I will have the virginal sacrifice for secret song number 7.
Hey, stranger things have happened. Sometimes somebody gets it.
We had a winner yesterday.
Oh, what do you got, Rob?
Here's your fart.
Oh, my fart?
Is it worth hearing again?
Yeah.
I believe it's a four pumper.
Mm-hmm. All right, here it is again.
I'll count them.
Instant right. replay.
Three, four pumpers. We're not going.
Well, back it up a little bit.
I really think it's 2, 3, 4.
All right, he's backing up
God
the CD.
Lord.
Did I count them? You got it?
That's four. Okay, here we go.
Nope, back.
Four.
Hear that?
Oh, my
That's
God.
Four. Four totally separate and distinct sounds.
You can do it if you want.
Okay, is it ready now?
Uh-huh.
Go.
One, two, three. Four. Oh, my.
Well, now that sounds like three. No, back it up all the way, Rob.
You missed the first one.
Okay.
Four pumper.
There you go.
Four alarmer.
My gift to you. Thanks for listening, everybody. Now, be the 100th caller. Call Lisa, who didn't go to the tanning bed today.
Oh, boo.
We're not going to have the tanning update today.
Boo.
Lots of guys bought hand lotion and everything, but she tells us that she'll have a special tanning surprise for us on Monday's episode.
Excellent.
So, call her right now, and if you're one of the people getting up to call her number 100, yell at her how come she didn't go to the tanning bed today. Phone number 877-365-3636.
Number 1, Arbitron Link, the Don and Mike Show.
Just surrounded.
Damn, we're in a tight spot.
Just come on out and grab it in. Don't try nothing fancy.
Damn, we're in a tight spot.
What, Mr. Sam Hill?
Pete's cousin turned us in for the bounty.
The hell you say?
Walsh is keying.
Sorry, Pete. I know we're keying, but they got this depression on. I got to do for me and mine.
I'm gonna kill you, Judas Iscariot, hog weller, you miserable, horse-eating son. Damn, we're in a tight spot. Damn his eyes. Always said, never trust a hog wallop.
Yeah, cracks my ass off.
America's most happening hate mongers, the Don and Mike Show.
And I'm really playing that tape for an audience of one, because that's from my favorite movie that nobody's seen, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
And you know, that does suck, especially with the Academy Awards coming up. I don't know if you got any nominations, but, you know, it never went wide, did it?
No, not really. Didn't go wide.
Why?
That's a funny clip, though, with George Clooney. Damn, we're in a tight spot. For any of the four people besides myself who have seen that movie, maybe you can appreciate that tape.
Somebody on the Golden Globe Awards saw it.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, how you doing today?
Thanks. Thank you. We're doing great.
Did you get a call at 100?
Huh? Hey, Don. Hey. Is this Charlie?
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Am
I calling 100?
Yeah, you are. 100.
Thank you.
Right, what's your name?
Chuck.
I want to just a little lesson for all you out there. Radio is about excitement.
Right.
Of yes. course.
Radio is a medium of immediacy.
And a medium of speed.
It's an intimate medium. It's just you and your radio. And that's why people love radio, because it's goddamn exciting.
You caught me by surprise. I'm sorry.
Right.
I am excited, sir.
Okay, well, how do we catch you by surprise? You called us.
Well, I didn't expect to get through.
Oh, okay. Well, then let me solve that dilemma for you. Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Oh, I'm not caller 100.
Oh,
it's a slow day in Dodge.
No, I'm sorry you're not. Thank you, though.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, I'm caller 100.
There you go.
That's fantastic.
Right. That's right. Be assertive. You know what we're doing? We're teaching life lessons on this show.
We are. This is an educational program. I say that all the time.
As radio is an exciting medium.
Fast moving.
Yes, you've won the Sopranos prize pack. Don't miss the special 2-hour season premiere of The Sopranos, Sunday night, 9 Eastern, 8 Central on the HBO. Sopranos
Excellent.
Soundtrack and stores now, Volume 2 coming soon. I forgot to ask, what's your name?
Rich.
And Rich, where are you from?
From Northern California.
Beautiful. All right, now, Rich, you're the virginal caller on secret song number 7.
Oh.
which did come out in the 1990s and is a top 20 record. Okay, it was number one in certain parts of the country, but overall was a top 20 record. Trust me, everybody knows this record. We'll play you the clip now. You give it to us, you win $500. Please don't answer till Mike sings like...
The Osborne Family.
The Osborne
Family. Well, it's honor of your old brother, Where Art, though. We're going to do a little Rocky Top.
Oh, I got you. And we wish you...
Godspeed. Caller.
I think that's
name
right.
This secret song.
And there it is. So simple. Buzz, it is not by the Bee Gees.
No? Okay.
It's not from Saturday Night Fever. If we do give away the money, it is courtesy of Main Street Title.
Suck it up, you'll always be home sweet home to me.
Yes! You got to see the movie.
I want to see it. It's all the way down in that theater.
I got it on video cassette.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, came out on cassette?
No.
No.
Oh. We got a copy of. That's how I got all the tapes from the movie.
Trunk of car. Trunk of car.
Listen, for $500, give us the title and artist. You win the money.
Oh, I'm afraid I don't have a clue for you.
How about a guess?
Let's go with the theme to Lion King.
Theme to Lion King. Oh, well, you know what? Hey, Rob, come on.
That's always playing in my head, Rob.
Just ease it down one notch on the sarcasm, Rob. He gave us a guess.
Right.
Thank you. And don't forget that every guess
is a clue for you.
For you. Thank you.
Thanks anyway, Donovan.
Hold on. No, thank you, my friend. Hold on a sec. Now.
It's funny when Don reigns in Rob's hate a little bit.
Yeah. Rob, turn it down to just a 7. That's funny. That's funny when I'm the guy. Because mine's always at 10.
Hello.
Hi, honey.
Well, hi, my boo-boo.
I got to turn around and tell Rob to just tone it back. Just turn down that volume just a little bit.
Hey, he's probably a little cranky. Rob, are you staying up a lot late? Is the baby keeping you up?
Oh, no.
Not at all. Rob, she's setting you up here.
No, just let anyone know who cares. The baby slept through the night at 2 months, and we've had no problems since then.
All right, that's not fantastic. Only do you not get any sympathy, but we hate you.
Well,
listen, honey.
Join the club.
Yeah.
Here's why I am calling you.
Yeah?
That I mentioned yesterday on the show that you invited the Stevens over to dinner.
Yes.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And then yesterday... You had a beautiful opportunity to get us out of it.
Because, you just stop.
Because, listen to this, how great is this? Ken's wife, you know, Ken's the general manager.
Right.
Ken's wife called up and
said... his general manager.
What?
Ken's wife called, and Ken's wife is his general manager.
Yeah. She called and she said... Now, what did she say? That she heard the show or Ken heard the show?
No, she knew you were only teasing. Plus, you said nice things about her, so she was A-okay with everything. It was just Ken wanted to make sure that you really wanted him to come over.
Well, why did you lie to her?
You see, you're not fooling anybody, and I was surprised that you fooled Ken. That everyone knows that you talk like a big blowhard, but you really like getting together with different people.
Yeah, but honey, you know, really, and you know this better than anybody, there has been lots of behind-the-scenes stuff between Mike and I and Mike and me and Ken. There has been some tension recently.
Yeah, but that's work. I mean, that's not getting together for dinner with family.
It would be difficult to break bread with an individual who has really had limited effect on our careers over the last 6 months.
Yes.
In a positive way.
But I'm going to attempt to.
Sugar Bear, you are so good at this because whenever I say to you about the things you do on air, and particularly what our conversations usually regard some kind of nude women, you tell me, you know, that I have to be able to separate that the show and work are one thing and that family and home
is another. But in this case, it's not, though.
Yeah, but yes, it is, because work is one thing, and then you come home. I mean, it's like...
Listen, really.
Kind of like Darren having Larry Tate over, isn't it?
Honey, really, how am I supposed to sit down tomorrow night with him, and especially if I have my drink, not immediately go to the many questions I have for him?
It's the same way that Republicans and Democrats can get together at a social function and have dinner and not talk about policy.
Why do you do that to me? I can't. Because you know what will happen is that you'll end up talking to her. And I'll
I like him too. I chatted with them both a bunch at the Christmas party.
I'll be stuck with him at one end of the table, you know, and it'll be like, how's everything going? Well, everything's going great. How are things going with you? And
you know what?
It's going to be at some point, I'm not going to be able to just continue the
facade. You'll be sidling up to his rear end before the night is over.
I am not going to be doing any gay dancing with him.
My main concern is you have been so great on your diet, and you get one free day, and all hell breaks loose, and God knows, you know.
I got that one day of the week when I eat whatever I want.
So for the last three Saturdays in a row, you've been, you know...
out of my mind.
Right.
Well, good for you.
Well, I can't help it.
He's going to have that time.
I can't help it. It's my day. And I wanted to let you know that my heavy drinking tomorrow night will be fueled by the fact that Ken Stevens is our dinner guest. But listen, how about this? How about a buffer couple?
Well, who'd you have in mind?
The British people.
No,
come on, they're fun.
Sugar Bear, so are Ken and Roz, and I would be more concerned. Now, Mike is as great and friendly and wonderful a guy as you are in real life, but when Mike has a couple of drinks, he gets the Irish chip on his shoulder. You become the great lover of all humanity. You become the man who can't keep your hands off males and females alike.
You know what? That's primarily with the British people. You know I'm very our British neighbors.
That's what you kiss people. Even Mike has told you you'll throw an arm around a person. You'll get big hugs when you're
drinking. Yeah, you actually do become a real sweet, you know, teddy bear like kind of guy when you're drinking. As I take swings at people within a 10-foot radius.
And
I don't like that, incidentally. I wish to God I was different, but that unfortunately is what the firewater does.
Isn't that true? Isn't there? There's two types of people in the world. One will take a swing, and the other one will, you know, give a big kiss when they drink.
Absolutely. I think there's really very little in between. I think you get those either or. And, you know, I'm not saying I really take swings of you, but I do get that nastiness sometimes, especially, I mean, when you get beyond the point of no return. It's just like, I never liked you anyway.
And I'm in the other camp, too. I have a drink, and I want to make plans and plot get-togethers and all kinds of things I don't really want to do when I'm not drinking.
Well, what about the buffer couple? I mean, that would be the perfect solution.
Boo-boo, everything is fine. We have the perfect solution.
You know, the thing about that, and I let me share a little insight. Is when I get like that, though, I mean, I really have to dislike the person genuinely. It's not artificial. That's what's scary about it. So if I'm going to a party where I know it's just going to be a lot of revelry and stuff, I have to really be careful. Because if there's somebody that, like, in real life that I really have contact with, but I really don't like that person, I have to be extremely, extremely careful.
Yeah, haven't you picked fights with people you really think are fine?
Like who? I'm trying to think.
Didn't you have an altercation with Rob one time?
No. Rob and I are kind of like sloppy lovers when we...
I thought you had a disagreement with it.
No. You know what she was thinking of? It's Jimmy the intern.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, he wouldn't fall into the camp of someone who you were really...
No, and I with Jimmy, I might have been really annoyed at him, like, at work, which we often were.
Yeah, we were.
We often were, like that. Normally, it's got to be...
Wasn't he driving in circles that night or something?
Yeah, it was San Diego.
Wasn't he just driving around the block over and over again?
We were out partying, and Jimmy was a native of San Diego and didn't know where to go.
Yeah, well, you see, what you didn't realize is that Jimmy's basically just foolish, and in a sweet way. He really couldn't take us anywhere.
And that really wasn't because I didn't like Jimmy as much as Jimmy was just being absolutely no help whatsoever.
Exactly.
So that falls into, maybe it's not all people that I don't like.
No, and you know what, Mike? You should have it as your official policy that it really doesn't mean anything. Because if you tell people that it really only comes out when you really don't like them, it's hard to take it back the next day.
Yeah, Frida, that is a good point. Okay, I take back everything I just said.
But listen, really, what about the buffer couple?
No, boo-boo.
I mean, that's the perfect
solution. We are fine. Now stop teasing, because even Ken, who knows you so well, thought that you might be serious, and we know.
Right, and if he's listening, I want him to know I am serious.
You are not.
I am serious.
Love it. You know what?
That Ken Stevens, frankly, is not welcome in my home.
Wow.
His wife and his son are welcome.
Right.
But if I am forced to, I will break bread with a man tomorrow night. I will. But he
you'll be charming and courteous.
He should be prepared to negotiate some of the issues that he has refused to negotiate with us.
Amen, brother.
During business hours.
Amen. I agree.
Why do you make my life harder?
I'm not making your life harder.
Yes, you are, because now I'm the one who always has to tell people you don't mean it.
Well, you do mean it, though, don't you?
Yeah, I do, sure.
Don't mean it. Because if I thought you meant a lot of the stuff you said on the air, I would not be sticking around. I've told you before, my contract expires in 2 years.
Oh, come on. Get out of here with that contract. You know, I'm sorry. You know what you have with me? You have the lifetime contract.
No, I do not have a no cut.
Yes,
no.
You do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
When Bart is in college, that's when my contract expires. It could be renegotiated.
She got a no cut. Does she have a no compete?
I don't know about that either. All right, well, just think about the buffer couple. Just think about it.
I don't need a buffer. I
love
like
buffer
the couple.
Couples.
The only person I'm going to have a problem with tomorrow evening is the person I'm on the phone with.
I love buffer couples in any social situation.
Well, Mike, you and Laura are welcome to come over.
We're having dinner. Oh, it's tomorrow night, right?
Yeah.
I'm taking my brother-in-law to the hockey game. Sorry about that.
All right, well, that might be too much for the Stevenses anyway. They might feel double-teamed in that case.
Yeah.
And plus,
too bad you couldn't change those plans, Mike.
Now, if I was free, I wouldn't be there.
Oh, you wouldn't?
No, I really wouldn't. That is not a pleasant evening for me.
I think that would be a little intimidating for, for the both of you up against one guy.
Hey, how great is it, though? I mean, regardless of whether I'm kidding, wink, wink, or not, how great is it that Ken calls his wife to say, hey, you better call Frieda up to see if he's serious?
That's amazing that Ken handles it that way.
Like, what is Frieda going to say when Roz calls?
It's not like Ken to do that.
Yeah. Because Ken's normally a guy who faces confrontation
right
in the face.
Head on. I'm surprised he didn't hotline us on the air yesterday.
He's a stand-up guy. I just derive a great amount of pleasure. And really, to be honest, I am just busting balls. I can sit through a dinner with Ken.
We should both say this, because it is the truth. Ken is a rather pleasant guy to party with. He is not an unpleasant guy to party. He really is.
He's all right when he's drunk.
He's
all right. And I can deal with him fine tomorrow night. But I derive a great amount of pleasure out of knowing that he heard the show yesterday.
Right.
Called his mommy to have his mommy call my mommy to make sure that it was okay, really, to come over.
Don't you start calling other people's wives mommies.
Why?
When I do everything but wipe your rear end.
Honey, I said, did I not say he had his mommy call my mommy?
All right.
I put myself in that camp.
Okay, very good.
You're my mommy.
Yeah, don't I know it.
I made love with my mommy today.
Listen to that reaction.
I did.
Yeah, that's why. No wonder I get so turned on with that picture in my head.
Your wife is a corporate asset, though. I mean, because the bottom line is, he is the boss, and your wife is doing, you know, this thing, getting you together with the boss.
We are.
That can only be positive.
We'll see.
I mean, I want to say thank you, Frieda, for that, because, you know, Don does that. He has to sit down with Ken, and once again, I don't have to. I'm very grateful to both of you.
I'll have a full report on Monday.
Well, I look forward to it.
And I'm thinking about taping it.
No, you are not.
Yes, I am.
No, you are not. Would you stop it? You couldn't even find a tape recorder in this house if you needed one.
Yes, I could.
You bring
where?
Tape it secretly.
I know where my little spy tape recorder is, that little one. You know, I'm always going through phases where I had to have the little tape recorder, like, say stuff to myself because I write myself notes all the time.
Wire yourself up. Wear a wire. And then, like, call him on everything he promises.
Right. Have you ever seen him drink a martini? He'd be electrocuted before the night.
Well, you know what I am going to tape? I'm going to tape part of the dinner conversation.
Wow.
And I'll bring it in and play it on Monday. I promise you. I promise you I will.
No.
You won't even know I'm taping it.
Oh.
You won't.
All right. We'll see. We'll see who's right on Monday.
Okay, we will.
Okay. Goodbye, boo.
Think about the buffer couple.
Goodbye, boo-boo.
Love you.
I love you.
All right, bye.
Bye for 2 more years. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay.
Hey. And hey. She's gone like the wind with little Jig on the way out the door.
Hold on. Hey, you know what?
Don't threaten me like that. Don't threaten me like that. Oh, now. Hey. Buffer couples in any social situation are wonderful. I'm not sure I understand that concept.
My closest friends, I like... You and Marcia do a lot of one-on-one couples.
Yeah, we do.
Mm-hmm. Buffer couples
are
great.
One-on-one couples. So I like tonight, right? Going out to dinner with my one set of neighbors and another set of neighbors. Six of us. It's great. It's fantastic.
It's just simple. You hang around people you like, and you don't need a buffer couple.
Take that back.
I didn't say for only 2 more years.
Take that back.
No, that's in at least 2 more years.
No, take that back.
2 more plus eternity.
Thank you.
All right, goodbye, Susie.
Goodbye. But it's not that I don't like either couple, Buzz. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm comfortable with two couples. It's just,
you know
there
what?
When you have one couple, it's different.
Mm-hmm. You have to focus all your attention
right.
on the one couple. And what if you're bored with the one couple? Mm-hmm. Then you've got the other couple, and you can get the other couple involved and maybe make the third couple less boring.
Absolutely.
The more the merrier.
Yeah.
I mean, I like both of these couples on their own. I could handle both of them on their own, but it's always better when you got more. Mm-hmm. The more the merrier.
Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, I am the most antisocial hermit, Howard Hughes, don't like people, don't like leaving my house.
Mm-hmm.
I dig these British people that live up the street.
No, you do.
I cannot control myself when I'm with them. I really have a great time with them.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean, really.
Yeah.
If you like people that much, that's good.
They're a couple that I don't need a buffer couple with.
They're the kind of couple where you're going to get like that buttery feeling, you know, when you get the butterflies. You get real jacked up to see them.
Yeah, that's why they're the perfect buffer couple, because they're the couple that we don't have to buffer with when we go out.
That's right.
They're great bufferers. Oh, you gotta have the buffer couple. You've never used the buffer couple?
No, never. Never. Always
never?
Always one-on-one or two-on-two, as the case may be.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. You swing.
Four-on-four.
Buzz, you're going to be discussing that tonight. I would like to promote an appearance tonight.
Oh, that's right.
It is the world debut of the Buzz and Rob Las Vegas-style show.
Right.
Now, Mike, I don't know how you and I got gypped out of this great gig.
I don't understand. It's just, our stock is falling, Don. That's what that is.
Tonight, the Buzz and Rob show at Nostalgia's at the Fair Oaks Holiday Inn tonight from 9 to 11. Well, what's on tap tonight for the stage show?
Yeah, Buzz, tell him.
It's not really a stage show.
Oh,
you know,
we're gonna
just meet people, answer questions if you like, and play a couple of games.
Will there be a song? Will there be a song?
Only if I'm asked.
Really?
Only if I'm asked. There's T-shirts. I know that.
I'll ask.
Those fingers in your hair.
What kind of games are you going to be playing, Buzz?
I'm not sure exactly. Those are being prepared for us, as a matter of fact.
There's going to be a game where Buzz is blindfolded, and I have to tell him how to get around it.
We're going to play a naughty version of musical chairs. I know that's one thing we're going to do.
What's the naughty version?
When the music stops, women sit down on guys' laps.
Naughty.
Yeah.
That's PG.
That's naughty.
Friendly.
Buzz is, I didn't know anything about that. Yeah. I'm excited now. Now I'm glad I'm going.
That's
going
to be fun. Big fun. And will both of you be wearing the bow ties without shirts?
Yes. And the straw hats with the canes.
All right.
Red and white striped blazers.
Will this be 2 hours nonstop, or will you take a break at some point, an intermission?
It'll be more like 2 hours of a break and then 10 minutes of real solid entertainment.
You know, far be it for me to do this. I know this is your show. May I make one tiny suggestion for you, Buzz?
Please, by all means, please.
I really think it would be wonderful if on stage, before you got up on stage, you're going to have, 2 hours? It'll be between an hour and a half before the end of this show and the stage show.
Right.
Just get silly S-faced.
Okay.
Yeah, Buzz,
just
I'll give you
falling
a ride
down.
Home.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll give you a ride.
Get sloppy and get up there and go, come on, be the life of the party.
Hey, Rob, take one of your tranquilizers.
Yeah, absolutely.
It couldn't hurt.
There you go.
It couldn't hurt. It'll be a grand show.
Now we got a show.
Now there's entertainment.
So you're going to be playing the quote-unquote naughty version of musical chairs.
Uh-huh.
And are you going to do some trivia?
Perhaps.
And the guys' laps who they're sitting will be bottomless and fully turgid?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Very good.
Exactly. Okay. Well, I urge everybody to go check this show out tonight, if for no other reason than to give us a report on Monday.
Check it out.
Because it'll be great. It really will.
I am not too proud to tell you that I feel challenged.
I
feel that our turf
you shouldn't.
Has been challenged. We have a Las Vegas-style show coming up Tuesday night, and look at these two guys are horning in on our outside appearances.
You can hear it now. The calls on Monday are going to be, hey, Don and Mike, no more Las Vegas-style shows. Anytime, send out Rob and Buzz.
Right, we want to see the naughty musical chairs.
And
we want to answer trivia questions.
Really, and then the last guy
to completion, right?
That's right.
Game works.
Right. Yes, but they're wearing a condom, so it's okay.
Fantastic. We're just there to meet the wonderful people.
All right.
Not really a show. No competition.
So
no need to worry.
What time is Buzz and Rob's dildo party tonight?
9 p. to 11 p.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Actually, it's 9 p. till question mark. Who knows when it'll end?
Yeah. Will there be some kind of monologue?
Buzz likes to speak, sure.
There could be. You never know. Depends on how liquored up I get, I guess.
There you go.
It was wild stuff. It was so
wild.
It was so cold today.
How cold was it, Buzz?
So cold I saw a robin dipping his worm in Nest tea.
Hi-oh. Well, everybody, there you go.
Lots of fun.
As they wrote on the card, treat yourself to an evening of entertainment magic.
I'm so sorry. I got the joke wrong. It's, that's my so-cold joke. I read the wrong card. It was so cold today.
How cold was it, Buzz?
It was so cold, I saw a robin dipping his worm in Swiss Miss Instant Cocoa.
Buzz and Rob.
Yeah.
Tonight at the Fair Oaks Holiday Inn.
Very good. Not really a show. Just, you know.
Pretty convenient. Pretty convenient you boys are doing a show with a hotel above it.
Yeah, isn't that?
Right.
Yeah, I'll see you there.
Threatened? You bet I am.
Hey, ladies, go out there and throw your room keys on stage.
You bet I'm threatened. You know, Mike and I have been honing and refining this for years and years and years, and now...
Nobody does it better.
You know, this is like, when Ringo did his solo album.
That's right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it'll be critically received about the same.
And it's
very
like,
sad after we've, you know, crafted this vaudevillian exercise for years and years.
You know, I'm sure it's like Paul and John felt when George and Ringo said that they had to go out and do their own thing.
That's right. I'm sure Paul was threatened by Ringo's solo efforts.
Well, I'm sure he was, because I'm sure he was as small and paranoid as I am.
You're going to have to go out and do wine cooler ads now.
Okay. Right. Sure, it's like, I'm sure it's the way that Mickey and Peter felt when Davy Jones went out on his own and Mike Nesmith left the monkeys.
Exact same thing.
Right. We know what it feels like.
Yeah.
We know what it's like, Buzz. Well, that's okay. You guys, good luck to you.
Matching outfits, right?
Stretch your wings.
Yeah. Matching outfit.
Good luck to you.
Of course. Good.
Have a great show tonight.
I'm salt. I'm pepper. I'm sugar. I'm spice.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Buzz, do you want me to bring that bag of weed tonight?
Yeah, why don't you?
Okay, shall I bring my 4-foot bong, too?
Meet you at the door.
Just knock it the frig off. Hey, you know, seriously, there is one person who I hope comes to your show tonight.
Ooh. Amen.
Hello?
He didn't just hang up, did he?
Yep.
Might have been, you know, the one time we really do want to talk to him.
Tom? Hey, Tom?
Yeah?
Tom, is there any chance you could come see Buzz and Rob's Las Vegas-style show tonight?
Yeah.
Great. They're going to be at Nostalgia's.
Yeah.
At the Fair Oaks.
At Fair Oaks at Holiday Inn.
Uh-huh. Tonight from 9 to 11.
Yeah. Tom, Buzz told me that if you come out tonight, Buzz would make you a big part of the show.
Hey, Buzz.
Yeah.
Could I come out and... be with you all?
I don't see why not, Tom. Could he be on stage, Buzz? I don't see why not, Mike.
All right.
Could he maybe play the musical chairs game with you?
Well, that might be pushing it.
The naughty musical chairs, he'd just have to sit.
There's definitely a place for him in the show, I think.
Can he take his shirt off?
Now you've got me calling it a show.
It'll be me. Hey, listen to this.
What?
It'll be the Tom and Bob and Buzz show.
Right.
That's right. And that's how I'm going to book it. That's exactly how I'm going to book it and start billing it now.
The three amigos.
Tom, Buzz, and Rob.
That's great.
That's right. Yeah. Starring Tom Gavin.
Yep. Starring Tom Gavin, Buzz, and Rob.
Mm-hmm. All right, Tom, how do you spell Nostalgias?
Nostalgias?
Yeah.
Nigelly.
Perfect. I don't want
right.
I'm not touching that one.
Right.
Right.
Niggly. That's what he just spelled.
Hey,
Mike?
Yes, Tom.
I know your band's name is.
What's that?
Crap.
Hey, way to go, Tom. Hey, Tom?
Yeah?
Don't ever come out to a crap show.
Oh.
Thank you.
Oh, that's
how you deal with that, Buzz. See, immediately, right out of the chute.
I want Tom to come.
I'm looking forward
to seeing him.
You want him to be part of the show?
Absolutely.
All right, Tommy. Well, Rob and Buzz will see you there tonight.
Hi, how y'all doing?
We're doing great. We gotta go though, Tom.
Okay.
Roar.
Bye, Tom.
Yep, there he is. It's a lock. It's gonna be the greatest show in the world.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Another show.
Are we still meeting at 8:30?
Yes, please, Corey.
Do you want me to bring my weed?
Yeah, by all means. Yeah, there's going to be
a gift, Buzz.
There's going to be a bunch of that at the door.
Little wooden box for
you.
Well,
the nice policeman at the door will help you out with that.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right,
the one in the trench coat.
I'll see you there, Jorge.
All right. Bye, Jorge.
Jorge.
Bye-bye. All your friends and fans are calling.
I'm looking forward to it.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, this is John Sacramento.
Yeah, John. Hi.
I was wondering, did you guys hear about the... George Bush's daughter getting drunk the other night?
No, well, wasn't it the dude she was with?
Yeah, I was wondering what might have happened to that guy. The Secret Service when he got him, I was wondering if he might have got whacked.
Well, they got him out of jail, right?
They did. The Secret Service sprang him out of jail. It's true.
And no one's heard about him since. I was just wondering, you know, is he still around or...
No, I'm sure they had him killed.
He's around. He's just laying low. He says he has no comment, probably because he was asked to say that he has no comment.
He sleeps with the fishes.
No, Buzz, they had him killed.
Oh, did they?
They had him killed.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye. Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Hello, last call, Don and Mike.
Hey, what's happening, Don?
Hey, buddy.
This is a Niggly from Reno. Hey, you know what? In defense of Rob, and what's up, Mike? What's up, Buzz?
Hey.
In defense of Rob, there is a Scooby Dum.
Of course.
And you know what that guy looks like? Rob, you probably agree to this. He looks like Ernest. That's who Scooby Dum looks like, with the little cap. He looks like Ernest.
You mean like the Ernest Goes to Camp guy?
Yeah, that guy. That's who Scooby Dum looks like.
Late Jim Varney.
Thank you, my friend.
All right. Take it easy, dude.
These are all topics that can be discussed ad nauseum tonight.
Right.
During the evening of Entertainment Magic with Tom, Buzz, and Rob.
A tribute to cartoon classics.
And we expect a full report Monday. We have Bobby C., Bobby Costas, we come right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, The Don and Mike Show.
You're at it again.
Take it easy, honey. After all, we never see them.
Well, it's almost worse this way, just hearing them.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
It doesn't smell like a cigar.
They'll flesh the pot whenever the is they please. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
All right, now look at this. We took our break on time. So we could have Bob Costas on.
Always a pleasure to have Bob Costas on the show.
Except the line's not... Oh, you know what? There he is. Right on time. Hey, Bob.
Yo.
How everybody is. Welcome back now. You know we love having Bob Costas on.
We do.
The great Bob Costas, who wrote the sanest book ever about baseball.
That's right.
And now, Bob, bend over and get ready for another big ass-kissing, because your new TV show on HBO, it's great.
Thank you.
I want to tell you why I love it, and then perhaps you can comment on the things that I love.
Okay.
I loved the first episode with Dennis Miller,
mm-hmm.
because you talked about a lot of the stuff
mm-hmm.
that a lot of people were curious about.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the one I saw a couple nights ago with John McEnroe.
Right. Will he say anything or what?
Yeah, I want to ask you about, Mike, I don't know if you saw it or not.
I did not.
John McEnroe said that he could beat either of the Williams sisters playing tennis, and he would do it any time.
That's going back to the old Bobby Riggs era.
And he said something like, there were thousands of guys who could beat them.
Wow.
And then, of course, he had Jerry Lewis on.
Now that, what a poll that is. I mean, you know, for those of us that enjoy watching the serious Jerry Lewis, which I think Dennis Miller said it one time, Jerry Lewis being serious can actually be funnier than Jerry Lewis being funny.
So, Bob, how did you get the show on HBO where you could have a variety of guests like Dennis Miller, Tom Hanks, John McEnroe, and Jerry Lewis?
Well, going back 5 or 6 years, HBO has been talking to NBC about the possibility of me doing a show. And NBC very understandably said he's got a lot on his plate, and also they were concerned with the fact that I'm identified with NBC, and they didn't want to dilute that exclusivity. But then, about 2 years ago, we began to make the case that, you know, things have changed a little bit, and Bob stepped in and did the basketball games when Marv Albert had to step aside, and pretty soon it's going to be okay for Marv to come back, and it really should be his job. So when Bob steps away from that and Marv comes back, there's a void in the schedule, and we could take about 3 months when you wouldn't really need me that much, and I could do the show that we've been talking about at HBO. And Dick Ebersol and the people at NBC were really understanding. They were very nice about it. So they loaned me out to HBO during this period of time. And because it is HBO, you have such freedom, not just in sports, but across the board. You can pretty much do any show that you can convince them would be worthwhile. They're willing to try it and put all their resources behind it, so that's how it happens.
It's not really just freedom as far as, you know, being on cable and the content where you can have more adult content, but is it true, I hear everybody say this about HBO, that as far as creative ideas, you can throw so much at these people that they go, yeah, give it a shot.
Performer's paradise.
Yeah.
You know, it's not TV, it's HBO, that's what they say.
I mean, talk about, really, an avant-garde lineup.
Right.
John McEnroe and Jerry Lewis. those are the guests on the Bob Costa show. Those,
yep.
About John McEnroe.
I'd like to see John McEnroe play Jerry Lewis in tennis.
About those things that he said, is there a chance that he was serious, that he thinks he could beat either of the Williams sisters?
Oh, I think he's 100% serious. I think he believes it would be no problem. He's 42 years old and still, you know, fit enough to play doubles. And I think if the incentive was there, and he doesn't need the money, but if the offer was right, if the setting was right, and as he said, if he felt there was something worth proving, he would do it. I think what's gotten his ire up is not the idea of whether a man at a certain stage in his career can beat a woman in her prime. It's that he believes that the Williams sisters are insufficiently respectful of the history of tennis, that they don't pay enough regard to the people who have preceded them, that there's kind of an us-against-the-world thing going on with them, which he thought might have been worthwhile if it helped to fuel their rise to the top. But now that they're at the top, he wishes they would be a bit more gracious. Of course, there's an interesting question as to who is John McEnroe to lecture anybody about being gracious.
Yeah, and I have a question about John McEnroe. Do you think how much of this is John McEnroe's legitimate chip on his shoulder, and how much of that is a guy that really loves just stirring it up? Which both. Do you think is the reality?
Both.
Really?
Yeah. But you know what? He is a very bright guy. Make no mistake. This is an intelligent man with interests and knowledge beyond sports and who thinks his opinions out. You know, even those of us, I didn't know John well because I don't generally cover tennis. So I wasn't necessarily the biggest fan of John McEnroe as a person. When he came over to NBC and then HBO to work on the tennis broadcasts, but you have to give him his due. He's tremendous on these broadcasts. He's candid. He's insightful. You hear things are don't hear from anybody else, and he's not afraid to take a stand. And I know that he has his volatile side, but when you're around him and he's in the right mood, he can be one of the most interesting and really enjoyable people to be around that you come across.
Your opinion, he would get creamed by either of the Williams sisters?
I don't think so.
Really?
Really? Well, I'd love to see it.
I think he could make a representative match out of it.
That'd be a big money event. Everybody would love to see that.
All right, what about Jerry? Because we are fascinated with Jerry. I mean, we're fascinated with Jerry beyond just the telephone. I mean, we're into the small Jerry facts. Like, Bob, do you know that Jerry Lewis only wears a pair of socks once and then he throws them away? You didn't
yes,
know that?
Yes. In fact, one of the researchers told me that, but I couldn't figure out a way to work it in the other night.
Yeah, I bet you would if you could have.
and the line that we loved, the line of BS, was Jerry Lewis saying, you know, when I was a kid, I didn't have anything, and I vowed to myself, if I ever made it in this biz, I would never buy a pair of socks and wear them more than one time.
I have one very important question about your interview with Jerry Lewis. Was Jerry sucking on a lozenge when you interviewed him?
I didn't notice if he was.
Okay.
Why?
Because we really overanalyzed Jerry Lewis, and we have noticed that on many of Jerry's interviews, he will be chewing on some sort of candy or lozenge, and it just comes across a certain way. How did you find the show business icon Jerry Lewis, Bob?
Well, I've known him for a while. He was a guest on Later. We did two shows on Later. And then when Damn Yankees opened on Broadway, we did a profile of him for the Dateline News magazine. So we go back a ways. And he is a legitimate sports fan. Goes to all the HBO fights in Vegas. He was at all three Graziano Zale fights in the late 1940s. He really did have friendships with a lot of guys in New York baseball and in the post-war era. You know, interesting guy to talk to.
All right, and I mentioned I really...
And I'll tell you this. Forgive me for interrupting. He
Sorry.
Did walk into the makeup room, and almost on cue, it's like, you want me to do what you want me to do? Fine. He walks in, he sees the makeup woman, and he says, lady, can you make me look a little less shiny?
Dennis Miller, I loved the stuff that you asked him, because it was the stuff I think that every guy who watched him and enjoyed him on Monday Night Football would have asked him. What were your feelings about his first season on Monday Night Football?
You know, I understand the rough spots. I didn't see the first few games because I was in Australia doing the Olympics, although the games are on live, interestingly, on ESPN International, but I was in the studio doing the Olympic stuff, so I only caught a little bit here and there, and I guess maybe that's when the heat was really the highest on him. I've always been a fan of his. I think he's funny. I liked him on SNL. I liked him on HBO. I find him to be a stand-up guy, and I don't feel that Monday Night Football is so sacred that you can't throw something new into the mix. And in the games I watched, he did make me smile or laugh many times. I think, and he knows this too, he's got to figure out how to pace it. He wants to show that he's a legitimate football follower and not just a comedian. And sometimes he'd try to do that by saying, you know, interesting that they've been able to make so much yardage on first down on the ground because San Francisco is third overall against the rush in the NFC.
Right.
And even if that's true, people want to hear Al Michaels say that and not him. So he's got to figure out a way to convey his knowledge and interest in football, maybe to say, you know, I talked to such and such a player yesterday, and do it in the form of an anecdote, and then mix the jokes in there with it. I think if he figures out the right mix, it's going to be okay.
All right, and a couple of baseball things before the last topic.
Yeah, I can't let Bob Costas get out of here without asking for predictions.
But let me ask him about one thing. Your book that you wrote about baseball,
yeah.
Again, it's a Bible. Anybody who liked baseball and knows how effed up it is should read Bob's book.
Now you've led me into the shameless plug because the paperback comes out this opening day, first week in April.
There you go.
And about a 15-page afterword that brings it up to date based on what happened last year and what may happen in the upcoming year.
I urge you to read it. I mean, everything he writes is absolutely true. I was heartened to hear that Mark McGwire negotiated his own contract with the Cardinals and that... Now, he's making a lot of money, like $15 million a year. I saw him on TV where he said, you know what, I could have gotten more, but I'm going to have enough money to last me for the rest of my life.
Right.
When's it going to turn around so that all the other greedy baseball players have that attitude?
I think it's starting to turn around now, don't you, Bob?
I think there are some indications that it's turning around, but before anything can happen with the players, the owners do have to get their own act together regarding revenue sharing. But let's assume for a moment that they do. Then I think it's time for the players to realize as a group what a lot of them have come to realize. Way back when the players were right in all of their battles against ownership, ownership just wanted to hold salaries down because they didn't want to pay them. It wasn't that they weren't able to pay them, they just didn't want to pay that much. Now it's obvious to a lot of players that many of these teams simply can't afford payrolls beyond a certain level. And if you're Mark McGwire, and if you ask the Cardinals for $25 million, even if they feel their back is to the wall and he's an important gate attraction, and so they have to pay him the 25, where's the money going to be left over to build a contending team around Mark McGwire?
Right.
I think that the players have come to realize that the system has really been pushed to a breaking point, and a new system has to be put in place in which they're all still going to be very wealthy, but where there's some equitable arrangement from the big markets to the small.
Do you see a strike at the end of this season?
I think a lockout's probably more likely than a strike because the owners who are pushing for the change.
Right.
I think what you'd likely see is a hiring freeze, a signing freeze as soon as the World Series is over, and then the possibility of a lockout once spring training rolls around. But that still leaves them months and months to sit down and hammer out a sensible agreement before any blood is shed.
All right, now, Bob, before we tell them the outline of the bet,
right,
going into the season, what would you consider the odds being, this is a serious question, of the Boston Red Sox advancing to the World Series?
Advancing to the World Series.
Yes. Just making it, not necessarily winning, just making it to the... I think I always ask Bob Costas a Boston Red Sox question.
Has Vegas come out with the official line?
No, they've not, but we'd like your opinion, then we'll tell you.
Well, you know, they don't have to beat the Yankees in the division, although they're an improved team and they might. You know, the Yankees only won 87 games last year, people are forgetting, although they did add Messina, so that bolsters them a little. They can get in as the wild card, so they got a good crack at making the playoffs. I put it as 10 or 12 to 1.
All right.
To the World Series.
All right. I don't
Mike is a lifelong Red Sox fan.
I got a little goofy a few weeks back on the show, Bob, and I told Don, I said, I am so confident in my beloved Boston Red Sox this year that I will shave my head in the event that the Red Sox do not make it to the World Series.
Wow. So, do you think he's an idiot?
Mike, let me ask you this.
Sure.
Do you have a nice flowing head of hair?
Yeah, yes, I do, Bob. Yes.
When was the last time you saw yourself bald or even in a crew cut?
Perhaps a baby picture from a 1959.
See, all of us, even those of us lucky enough to have a full head of hair, and may I say here that my hair has never been even slightly tinged red, no matter what anyone ever said
right.
During the Olympics. With those lights overhead, I swear on a stack of Bibles and any other holy document you wish to present to me, but I do have a full head of brown hair And all of us have wondered at one time or another, what would we look like bald? Because the key is, if you have a nicely shaped head, you know, if you have, you know, Joe Garagiola doesn't look bad bald. Michael Jordan's got a good dome.
Right.
He's the only one.
Some of these guys who, like, have a ridge in the middle of their head, or the back kind of sticks out, they look like Brainiac or something.
Right, exactly.
That's a nightmare.
Oh, now I'm feeling a little queasy right now.
So you don't know what lies beneath, Mike.
I really don't.
Point.
I don't, and I guess I won't know until they miss out on the World
Series. Hopefully we'll find out maybe by August when they're mathematically eliminated. And Bob, last thing.
Yep.
The abortion that is the XFL.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you work for NBC. I don't want you to get in any hot water, but Christ, what a mess, right?
My standard position has been, I have only one comment on this, the same comment before they began, and now it's my comment 4 weeks in. It doesn't represent NBC's best shot at a Peabody Award.
All right. Gotcha. Bob, you know, we do enjoy talking to you. And I know that when we get done talking to you, people will call us up and say, what's wrong with you guys? Because you're the only person we talk civilly to. Yeah. And you should know it's because we really do dig you and respect you.
Good luck with the HBO show.
You're great.
I'm honored. Thanks, guys. Call anytime.
We will.
See you. Bye.
All right. There's a great Bob Costas.
Oh,
wow.
I love talking to him.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, how can you, like, make dick jokes with Bob Costas?
No, you gotta pull back on that once in a while, because he does have great opinions, and they're fun to listen to. They're well thought out. I love talking to him.
Pretty smart guy.
Brilliant.
You're going to shave your head, Mike.
Well, you know, yeah, and you know, we didn't even bring up the possibility that, you know, if they do make it, it's not just me not shaving my head. If the Red Sox do make it to the World Series, we will have another head shaving for you.
I am not concerned about that in the least.
Okay. Well,
I mean, really. I have not...
Well, I realize I'm a long shot.
Not for one second have I worried about that.
Well, you know, that's why I'm glad. I hope we save these little snippets. I do. You know, as we haven't even begun yet. Well, we've technically begun the baseball season.
That's right. And your guy, Garcia Parra, is our...
Nomar Garcia Parra.
His arm fell off last night.
His arm fell off.
That's
a good omen. It's things are going our way already. Absolutely.
Brett Saberhagen?
Not going to be able to be on the opening day roster.
His heart exploded and came right out of his chest.
Right. I understand Manny Ramirez has left the country. Yeah, it's just David Cone was hit in the head. Who knows? Everything's going to go wrong.
Conehead. Okay, thank you, Bob Costas. And really, that book, Fair Ball, really, I mean, it kind of reads like a textbook. It's not like reading the latest John Grisham thriller.
He gives baseball some insights to help them get out of their current situation.
How to fix it. He's right about everything. So buy his book, and we sure do like him. And if you'd like to hear us go back to being the lovable a-holes that we are, well, great news. Charlie Stossel is our next guest.
Perfect.
Be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Rated, the Don and Mike Show. It's another Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show. Don't miss out on the legendary fun and the top-notch adult entertainment. And now, here's Miss Bobby to tell you more.
Okay, this Tuesday, the Don and Mike family packs their bags and heads to Frederick, Maryland. Experience the magic of Exhale Nightclub, 244 South Jefferson Street. Doors open at 6. The show starts at 9. There's no cover. You've got to be 21 to get in. Call 301-698-9226 for more information.
The Don and Mike Las Vegas style show.
See you in the club.
Don't miss.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Excuse me, Chief. I got something here you might want to see.
I hate when people talk during the movie.
Women love their penises.
Well,
Don and Mike.
Facts is facts.
Pays her nails.
Parts is parts.
Don't know.
Dogs love cheese.
Best friend on the...
Charlie loves dolls.
Yeah.
And it's time for the Friday movie segment with Charlie Stossel. Charlie, I don't know what you're doing wrong. No hate mail this week. No jail mail this week.
All my prisoners are being transferred out.
Nothing but movies this week.
Haven't the last two had to go back to solitary or something like that?
Well, who knows? I mean, there is the outside chance they may be on the street.
Yeah, that's not good, though.
No, not at all.
Well, nonetheless, we are here to talk movies with movie man Charlie. Let me play you in here.
And now, the bride of Puerto Rico, here's movie man Charlie Stossel.
Hey, Charlie.
Hello, Don.
How many new ones this week?
Just two.
One of them, sadly, I'm afraid I'm going to have to see.
C-spot run?
Because my son does not yet have his driver's license. We are counting down 29 days until the boy is able to drive himself.
Two words for you, David Arquette.
Those are the two words.
Today's Pauly Shore.
Those are the words.
They're getting him into the theater?
Bart and all of his idiot friends love David Arquette.
He is today's Pauly Shore. I am totally convinced of that. He knows what he does well, and that is stupid, dumb, plotless movies.
He is a retard.
He is David Arquette is one of the dumbest,
a retard
looking people.
How could a retard like that possibly get Courtney Cox?
It's amazing.
How could that happen?
I wonder if it says something about her.
Yep.
She likes controlling dumb guys.
Michael Keaton was...
She was dating Michael Keaton.
Yeah, he was before David Arquette.
Wow.
I've always tried to think of the connection between Michael Keaton and David Arquette, and there really is none. I mean, you see Michael Keaton, he looks like a totally different kind of guy.
Well, now, Michael Keaton, in many cases, is a goofy-looking guy, but compared to David Arquette...
Batman.
You know, compared to David Arquette, he is Tom Selleck's stuff.
Well, what I did was I found one connection. Anybody that's seen Jack Frost.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's bad movies, you know, because Michael Keaton has made a lot of crappy movies.
Recently.
He's made some good ones, but recently he's made a lot of stinkers.
You didn't like Jack Frost, or Michael Keaton gets turned into the walking, talking snowman?
What the hell was that all about?
It was all voice work.
He needed money.
It was amazing how bad that movie was.
He needed some money.
He's a movie for a paycheck.
He's a rock and roller, you know, he's a band guy.
Yeah, okay. I know someone who loved that movie.
Really?
I really do.
Get to know Charlie.
Jack Frost!
Yeah, not you, Charlie, the other Charlie.
I understand.
All right, so let's talk about this dumb David Arquette movie.
Yeah.
It's, what is it, Run?
C-Spot Run.
C-Spot Run.
And in this, he plays a lovelorn postal clerk looking for love. When he decides to befriend a woman with a child, and the dog comes into their life. Now, of course, the dog is a canine dog. And he's on the run from Paul Sorvino.
Does he have sex with a dog?
No. But this is from Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Paul Sorvino.
Yeah, you give him a lot of credit when you say Goodfellas. I mean, like one of the only decent movies he's ever done.
But so you can have one movie like that. And
Big Pauly.
Yes. Paul Sorvino's trying to get the dog, because the dog has screwed up his operation.
Paul Sorvino, though, really, in fairness to Paul Sorvino, I think he's funny. I mean, he's a good actor. I like watching him and stuff.
Yes, but once you pair him with David Arquette, you know, it's just
this movie would be great. Why'd they have to put David Arquette in it?
Maybe he could afford it.
Let me compare it to, let's say... Because, again, I've been through all the phases with Bart. I've been through the Adam Sandler phase, and I was there with him for that.
Sandler is Shakespeare.
I've been through the Pauly Shore phase. That I hated.
Yeah.
Now he's on the David Arquette phase. So let's compare it to Pauly Shore, because, unfortunately, I've seen all the movies.
Okay.
Is it as bad as Son-in-Law?
No.
Is it as bad as... I don't know if it's Pauly Shore or Carrot Top, chairman of the board.
That's Carrot Top, Don, and it's better than Carrot Top.
Or it's better than Carrot Top.
This is on par...
What about the one where Pauly Shore was a caveman?
Encino Man.
That's Brendan Fraser, too.
No, Encino Man.
That was Encino Man. Wasn't a caveman, but he found a caveman.
Brendan Fraser was the caveman.
Is it as bad as that?
No, Encino Man's much better. Encino Man is Gone with the Wind.
You're listening to a meeting of the accounting firm of Madison, Gilmore, and Boucher.
How does it stack up next to Jury Duty? Oh, much better than Jury Duty.
Well, that's good. What about the Ernest movies? Is this movie as bad as the Ernest movies?
It's on par with Ernest.
Oh.
There you go. Maybe one of the first two. Because after a while, Ernest started getting into the video-only releases.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, maybe the first Ernest Goes to Jail movie.
Is the dog cute?
The dog is the movie, but then you have to throw David Arquette in whining and...
And the dog's name, obviously, with the movie title is Spot.
Yeah, way to go,
That's clever.
It is.
Isn't that George W. Bush's dog, too, Spot?
I think so.
Yeah, a clever name for a pooch.
All right, how many porcelain dolls do you give this
one?
One
half.
For Charlie Stossel,
he's making a fist.
Ooh. That is a rare ballsy move from Charlie.
Somebody didn't get the jacket.
I got no merchandise. Actually, I did get some merchandise.
What did you get? What promotional merchandise?
What did you get? A drool cup?
No. Warner Brothers sent me a dog dish with some dog biscuits in it and a frisbee that fits into the dog dish.
There you go. Nothing he can use.
See, no doll.
He might be having his cornflakes in it in the morning.
No.
What they didn't send you? you like a little doll that you could line up with your other?
Don, to be honest, I haven't gotten a movie doll in quite some time.
Well, I know it's killing you not to give away the ending of that movie.
When's the last time you got a movie doll?
Toy Story?
Not even Toy Story 2?
Yeah, not even Toy Story
2.
I think the last time you were in my office and saw them all laid out when I was shipping them out.
Did you get Stinky Pete? Did you get Stinky Pete?
No, that was Toy Story 2.
Oh, yeah, okay. So all the way back to the original?
Yeah, all the way back to the original.
When was the last time you bought a doll?
Oh, maybe when I was a kid. My G.I. Joe.
Come on.
Yeah, it's with G.I. Joe.
Okay.
G.I. Joe.
All right.
Come on, it was Malibu Barbie. Tell the truth.
All right, and the other movie?
The Mexican.
Oh, right. Boy, I want to hear you.
The Julia Roberts movie with Brad Pitt. And also James Gandolfini.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
There he is.
There he is. He is Tony Soprano light in this movie, so there's a plus for the Mexican. In this movie, Brad Pitt and Julia Roberts' girlfriend, they split up right at the beginning of the movie. So these are two different stories that you're dealing with, where Julia Roberts is taken with Tony Soprano to try to get this gun. It's called the Mexican. Brad Pitt is in Mexico trying to get it. It's a legendary gun that has a curse to it. Whoever has it gets very bad luck, and it's worth a lot of money. There's your movie.
Good. Yeah. I like the premise.
There you go.
But does the movie suck?
The movie is not bad in parts. I think Brad Pitt does a decent job. It's almost like his Snatch character, the movie that Snatch. It's almost like that character a little bit. Julia Roberts is very good with James Gandolfini. They play off each other very well.
The
and he
loves Snatch.
He is tender, that tender Tony Soprano works out well, but there, in the end, it's like this movie, The Contender. There's something missing at the end of the movie, and I wish I could put my finger on it. But there are parts that are not bad.
All right, how many dollars do you give this movie?
Two and a half. It's a little disappointing. I expect
go see it. I'm telling everyone, go see it. I know this kind of a review when he makes it. Go see the movie.
Well, I want
it's
to tell
a
you,
smash.
Mike, hold on. I want to tell
it'll
you.
Do well. It'll do well this weekend.
I saw the dude with the mustache on Good Morning America.
Shallot?
No.
Michael Medved?
No.
Joel Siegel?
Yes.
Right. I'm sorry. The dude with the mustache, of course. You got Siegel and Shallot.
He hated it.
Joel Siegel hated it?
Hated it. And he went out of his way to say he didn't want to say anything that the movie company could take out of context
and put it in the ad.
Put in an ad.
Did he really say that?
Yeah.
Because we always talk about the fact that Joel Siegel is quoted all the time.
He said he doesn't want to say anything at all positive about this movie.
Because he'll probably say positive, Joel Siegel.
because he hated it so much. But you give it now. Make up your mind.
Two.
Two or two and a half?
Two and a half. You know, it was disappointing. I expected them to be together the whole movie, and they weren't. And I think maybe if they were, it might be a little bit more people were in there for.
All right. Well, that's it. You're off the hook, then.
That's it. Get out.
That's it.
See you tomorrow night.
I'll be there.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. You're socializing with Mike tomorrow.
Yes,
yeah.
I am. We have a date tomorrow night.
We have a date going to the hockey game.
Are you a face of evil?
I'm going to meet the missus, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, she's
you're going to meet the actress who's been hired to play Charlie's girlfriend?
Yeah, looking forward to it. I invited Charlie. I said I'd buy him dinner before the game, but
she's working.
They've got some sort of plans.
No. She's working, and by the time she gets here... and
he has to go to the agency to pick her up. And that way he has to look at the actresses and say, now, which one looks like the woman I've been describing? to Don and Mike for the last 8 months. Okay, you now listen. And then he gives her the whole rundown.
Right.
What's her name, supposedly?
Stephanie.
Okay.
Just out of curiosity, so I have something to look forward to. Who is the celebrity?
You know, we've never
the last time I went to a hockey game, you brought that lady that looks like Jewel.
Yes.
And I liked her. She was fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And who is the celebrity this...
you know, we've tried to come up with one.
Is it Ann Mira?
All Finn and Barbie.
Oh, Barbie.
A Barbie doll.
Really?
Yeah, with the small top, but yeah, Barbie doll.
You banging her?
Hey, absolutely.
A Barbie with a small top is olive oil, Charlie.
No.
Okay.
Not her.
Right.
How big are her breasts?
Bees. Small bees.
Small bees.
I'll get down. I'll check.
Yeah. Okay.
Just squeeze that.
Hi, how are you? Just checking.
So this one you're now admitting you're banging her.
Oh, I've admitted it since the get go.
This is a good relationship, healthy relationship.
Absolutely. Think the world of her.
When's the last time you banged her?
Sunday.
Good for you. Does she have any children?
No.
How's little
Brad?
Yeah, your little buddy.
He's
guy.
Great. He's good.
Okay.
They get along great.
Now wait a minute. You bring the girlfriend from the old relationship out on a date with the new girlfriend?
No.
You bring the kid?
If I have Brad for any period of time and Stephanie comes over.
Jesus, these are good seats, Charlie.
I know they are.
Wow.
Yeah,
we're, you know what the price of these is?
What?
$63
For a hockey game?
Whoa. These are the best seats in the house, right?
Well, we are on the blue line as the Capitals come out.
No. Thank you. There's that crazy lady out there. Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's that lady at Cavs games who likes finding Mike.
No,
really?
No, but thank you. Thank you. It's very nice.
Well, you won't be standing with me.
Oh, I won't?
No, yes, you will.
Okay, good.
$63 That's a lot for it.
$75 actually. Those are season tickets.
Freaking hockey ticket.
Hey, all right.
Man. So, the boy. You're involved with from...
I don't like how you say that. Who I'm involved
with. You're his big buddy.
Yeah.
You're his scrubby buddy.
Dad. you're his bath time buddy.
Yes, I am.
All right, the boy who you are like a part-time dad to.
Yeah.
This was from a relationship that you were in
six years ago.
That is no more.
Yes.
Yet the boy is still involved in your life.
Absolutely.
And if the boy...
And mom and I are still very good friends.
If the boy is spending time with you and the new girlfriend comes over...
Yeah.
Wow, that's weird.
Yeah, you know, and that's something great about her, that she's totally unthreatened by Brad or my friendship with Barb's mom or with the sister. Not threatened at all. She likes all of them, and they think the world of her.
What does she think about the bathing?
She would prefer that I didn't do it while she was there.
Is she fun? Is she gregarious? Is she a good time?
Absolutely.
Excellent. No, I mean, what does she think about you bathing with a boy?
I don't bathe with a boy.
and now, do you
wear... I bathe with her.
Do you wear...
Oh, gross. I didn't need to hear that. Picture you in the tub.
When you're with the boy now,
yeah.
Do you wear bathing suits when you bathe together?
We're out. Sometimes, Don. Depends on the season. And, you know, and how good we feel.
Okay. I got you.
Put on
this
the suit.
This is not good.
Put on the suit. Put on
I
the
don't suit. Want to.
Oh,
see, now you're doing it. Now, you know what? You're perpetuating it.
But,
now.
You know, I think most people realize that this is not the case. I'm not molesting an 11-year-old boy when he comes over and spends
time. No, you know, you're just bathing him. You're just bathing your little buddy.
I do not bathe
him. Hey, little
He's
buddy.
Old enough to bathe himself and dress himself.
He wears a skipper outfit. blue polo shirt with a skipper hat.
You still want to go to that game?
Yeah, I got the tickets now, buddy. You're not going to be able to pry these out of my
All right,
head.
Well, Mike, check out the actress who will be playing the girl that Charlie claims he's banging all the time.
I'll have a full report.
Gotcha.
All righty.
All right, you're off the hook.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow, Mike.
All right, get out.
All
right. Here. There he goes. Movie man, super stud, child bather, Charles Stossel.
She's a Barbie doll.
Except brought up. Let us know.
I will.
Let us know.
B, not bad.
Because I think it's even money that she's just a great... You're down to a homeless shelter tonight and just pick out some woman and scrub her up and say, now listen, you want a hot meal? You want a hot meal? You pretend you're my girlfriend at the hockey game tonight. We will be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Rated, the Don and Mike Show.
That's why the bosses sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the joint. Like these two f***ing balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 f***ing grand? Yeah, right, I'm sure.
World champion Lucy Juicers, Don and Mike.
Hey, listen, Vegas Style Show Tuesday night.
All right.
Club Exhale, Fredneck, Maryland. All the usual reindeer fun and games.
It's going to be a blast.
That's going to be the regular standard Vegas style show. Come on out. I was just talking to our producer, Carlos Broyhill. Why they pull this crap with us, I don't know. Why the rules always change.
Oh, no.
But apparently, no, it has nothing to do with the actual show that we're going to be doing.
Right?
It's the fact that we want to buy a drink for everybody who comes out.
Right?
Right. That the station, again, has some problem with the legality of that. You know, that we can't buy everybody a drink. But I'm telling you, I'm going to buy everybody a drink. I mean, even if I have to go around person by person,
right,
say hi, thanks for listening to the show, like to buy you your first drink.
Right, exactly.
I mean, it's no different than if you went into a regular bar and you saw a friend of yours and you said, hey, you know, let me buy you a drink.
Always a sticky wicket, isn't
right.
it?
Mm-hmm.
Try to do something nice for people.
It does, people. If you wrap your car around a tree, you know, don't blame me.
Mm-hmm. But you think they're going to have like, disclaimer sheets for people to get a free drink?
I guess so. I don't know.
They'll have to do something. They got to do it at the door. That's the way they got to do that, because otherwise it doesn't work.
Listen, all we want to do is buy a drink for everybody that comes to the appearance right. to say thanks for making the show number one in the ratings.
Yeah, they have to do that, though. There has to be a system in place to do that, and they're giving you a hard time about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know why there has to be a system in place. Why you just can't...
Because we did it one time before. We did it one time before, and they didn't do it the right way, and people were getting, like, 10 drinks.
Well, just one drink.
They were going back again, you see. It's not like people can walk up to the... I know that you trust our listeners in totality and the people that come out to this show, but that particular time, you might find this unbelievable, but people were coming back to the bar and saying that they hadn't gotten their free drink again and again and again, and,
well, then,
and it was a bit of a sticky wicket.
Then let's give everybody a ticket.
That's what it's supposed
to
be.
And say, you know what, you give the tickets to the bartender, and you get, right. you get your drink that I buy for you, Mike and I buy for you.
Right.
You know, and then enjoy your free cocktail, the beverage of your choice.
Sure.
Please. You know, and just promise us you don't wrap your car around a tree.
We'll work it out.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. So, yeah, come out to the show.
Yeah.
I mean, Broyhill was just giving me the lecture about, hey, you know, you can't buy drinks for everybody. Well, hell, if it's like a party, I could buy drinks for my friends.
Could have them back to the house. And we just have them all back to the house.
I don't know about that. I'm having Ken at my house this weekend. That's
yeah,
plenty.
Pushing it a little bit.
That's plenty for me.
And it's school night.
But the Vegas Style Show is on Tuesday night, Club Exhale in Fredneck, Maryland. We hit the stage at 9. Don't cost nothing to get, and we hope to see you there.
Yeah, we're all going up there in the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, too.
Hello. Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, how's it going?
Hi, it's going great, thank you.
Got the odds for you on the Red Sox winning the series. They're 8-1 to win the series, 4-1 to win the American League pennant.
And where are these odds from?
I got them. Well, they're the Vegas line, but they're an offshore sports book.
I don't mind those odds. I like those odds a lot. I like those odds. I like the odds of keeping my hair.
All right. Well, Mike, look on the bright side, though, of the Orioles. 100-1 to win the pennant. 200-1 to win the series.
Anybody that knows anything about professional sports know the odds at the beginning of the season mean absolutely nothing.
No. And the only way, most of the time, the only people that take those odds are the diehards.
Now, you know what I read today? And we got to get this fast. We got a phoner to get it.
Yeah, those odds suck, too, for a bet. I mean, if you're going to bet at the beginning of the season, you ought to have better odds than that.
I read today that that golfer dude, Phil Mickelson,
yes,
he bet before the season last year,
right,
that the Ravens would win the Super Bowl. The odds were 28-1.
Right.
He bet $20,000. He won $560,000.
Wow. Way to go, Phil.
That ain't bad.
All right, Lefty.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. Hi. Hey. If people wanted to buy an alcohol drink, that would be an option. But you could give them a drink ticket. And tell them that they could.
Do you have one of those speech deals where you repeat words?
Yes, I do.
you do have that. Bitch. Bastard, stretch.
But you can make it their option, whether they could buy an alcohol drink or buy a Coke.
I just like listening to this guy talk.
And then
me.
Buy them a free drink.
Me too.
There's so many different kinds of stuttering. My favorite kind
never
of stuttering is the hanging word stutterer. Have you ever heard that? Where you gonna do that?
Yep.
Used to work for a guy that used to have to tap. A guy that fired me, actually, at a hardware store. Used to have to tap when he was talking to people on the phone. He said, "That's right, Mrs. Smith. We will have the paint in that color on Friday. There shouldn't be any problem."
Oh,
yeah,
to get
like
a
that.
Cadence going?
Because right. Otherwise you go... Maybe you heard me.
I do that, too, if I don't concentrate really hard.
Really?
Wow. Do you have a newspaper or something? Could you read out of the newspaper for us?
Yeah, I could do that. I don't concentrate really hard, then I have real hard.
Don't concentrate. Just go ahead and just read.
Reading is probably easy for him. It's ad-libbing that's tough because he's got
to... I thought I'd give you guys help because it sounded like you guys really wanted to buy people drinks.
We do. We'll figure out a way around that.
Yeah.
You've got to make the connection.
If you made it, you know, up to the person, whether they wanted to buy alcohol or not, then it's in their court.
He's really... You're really working hard right now, aren't you?
Come on, let down your guard, man.
Good job.
Let down your guard.
Tell us the story of your life.
No.
Come on. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm actually calling from work, and I think...
Are you married, Bella?
All the people that stutter, that that people might recognize me, so...
Oh. are you a married guy?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so as I say, describe the perfect woman.
You know, you're not a good stutterer.
No.
I want to say that. You
I'll
know,
try harder next time.
All right, thank you,
take
my
it easy,
friend.
Guys.
I mean, he was real big in the you at the beginning of that conversation.
Absolutely, he was nervous.
But he kind of petered out. Petered out at the end.
Like all callers to this show, he found his comfort zone. Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don.
What?
O'Mara.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say I've been listening to you guys for years. I've heard you guys do a lot of interviews, but hands down, that interview with Bob Costas was the best interview you guys have ever done on the air.
Oh, please.
Oh, come on.
Oh, come on. It was just a straight interview.
No, but the thing was, look, I hate sports radio, but you guys actually made it sound interesting.
Thank All right, you. That's well, nice of you to say that. We appreciate it.
I mean, especially his comments on Dennis Miller, because I've been pulling for Dennis. I think Dennis Miller does great work on Monday Night Football, but what Bob Costas said just really nailed it.
You know,
I just wanted...
Now that you mentioned Dennis Miller and Bob Costas, you put Bob Costas in that Monday Night Football booth, you might have something there.
Yeah, well, you'd have someone who Dennis Miller could actually spar with.
Yeah, the only thing with that Bob Costas, you know, he likes to be a funny guy too, and that might be a little bit. But Bob Costas does have a sense of humor. He's a very funny guy.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Dad.
Is this the How You Doing guy trying to do a stutter thing for us?
Hide it.
Listen, you're banned from the show, pal.
Hide it.
You're banned.
Hide it.
You have been banned from this show.
Hide it.
Now, come on. This bit has run its welcome. Yeah, you're over. All right, goodbye. Listen, here's what we have for you. We have an interview scheduled here with Mike Oxbig
and Mike Latouris.
Mike Latouris. It's a combination ice cream parlor, casket shop.
Ew!
That's making a killing in Oregon.
Wow.
There's this couple that have been making caskets since 1996. But they never really got their business off the ground until they started selling ice cream along with the coffins.
Yeah, have a cone, have a double-dip cone while you're picking out your casket.
Casket sales have slumped so much that before the guy started selling ice cream, he sold 4 caskets in a year.
Wow.
But now he's selling more caskets, and he's selling 50 gallons a month of ice cream.
I'd like the banana stiff, please.
Okay, so let's call right now. Rob, here is the number for you to call for the Mike Latouris, Mike Oxbig show.
Oh, there you go.
You can be the producer
of the Oxbig Latouris get-together.
And we've got some theme music and everything for our great interview here. Ice cream and caskets.
Fantastic. On the Oxbig Latouris get-together.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Oxbig.
And I'm Mike Latouris.
Happy Friday to you.
Hey, it's a good-looking Friday. Going to be a great weekend in the Bay Area.
All right, Robbie, you got him there?
Hi, can I speak to either Tim or Nelda, please? Hi, Tim. My name is Rob O'Brien, and I'm calling on behalf of the Mike and Mike Show on Westwood One. How are you? Good. I was wondering if you'd take some time out to speak to our fellows here.
Time out.
Is Nelda available? Could she pick up on the extension? Could Nelda pick up on the extension? We'd like to speak to both of you.
She's fine. I don't care.
All right. Okay, hang on for me, Tim, and the next voices you hear will be my talking to you on the air. Thank you, Tim. Thank you. Hold on.
All right. Here we go.
Okay, so here we go. Hold on. Let me get the... Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready there, Mike.
All right. Let's roll that music. Familiar theme means only one thing. Hi, commuters. Mike Oxbig.
Mike Matoris here.
And it's the Mike and Mike Show. 2 for the road, 27 past the hour. Bing bong, have a happy, safe weekend. Traffic, weather together. Coming up, I'm Mike Oxbig.
And I'm Mike Matoris.
And half a guy on the phone today from our wacky story file. Now, you're not going to believe this one. Caskets and cream.
Is this that wacky guy that sells actual coffins and ice cream at the same time?
Sure is.
That's a wacky circus.
I'm Mike Fatoris. And we're on right now with Bobby. His name is Tim?
Tim!
Tim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bobby O'Brien. We got Tim here from the ice cream casket story. Tim, how's it going today?
It's been crazy.
It's been cuckoo crazy. Now,
it's
tell me.
Cuckoo crazy.
Tell me.
Are you selling a lot of caskets and ice cream?
We sell a lot of everything.
What's your number one selling casket? It's kind of a morbid on a Friday afternoon, but I'll go with it.
We only have one style of casket.
And what style is that, Tim?
Is it cookies and cream?
It could be.
Okay.
No, we've created our own style of juniper casket, and you know we take pride in a handcrafted.
How many different flavors of ice cream do you say? You know what? Excuse me, I've got to do a quick station break.
Station ID time.
All right, for local stations along the network on the Westwood One Radio Network. Hi, everybody. This is Mike Oxbig.
And I'm Mike Fitzoris.
How are you today? And we wish you a happy go-lucky Friday. Let's give our stations down the line 5 seconds to identify themselves.
Mike Fitzoris.
And we're online with Tim from Oregon, who sells caskets and cream.
He was telling us they're made out of juniper.
Yes.
Outstanding. And what is the number one flavor of ice cream that you sell?
Well, we have about 5 different excellent flavors between licorice and wild mountain blackberry and chocolate and vanilla. And
wow, I'm hungry already.
Yeah, we have 16 different flavors.
Hey, don't forget tonight, as soon as we're done at the top of the hour, it's the Weed Whacker Show with Mike Elston.
That's a fabulous show. He'll tell you how to trim that garden of yours.
That's right. He loves weed.
Yeah.
That's Mike Elston with Weed Whacker coming up in just a few minutes from now, about 29 minutes from now. And we are online with Tim from Fossil, Oregon.
Tell us all about his ice cream flavors, right?
Yes. Ice cream and caskets. I want to tell you, it's rather morbid, rather ghoulish.
I want to get serious, if I can, for just a second, sir. Does anyone get offended at the fact that you're selling those two products together?
Huh? Well, yes and no. Really, we had them showing in the showroom, and a few people kind of would look at their ice cream cone, look at the casket, and say, what are we doing here, you know?
Wow.
So we pulled a casket out of the showroom, but it's back in the showroom now after the article come out. But it's covered up. We will show it to people if they want to see it. Otherwise, it's got a casket blanket on it.
I want to remind everybody, coming up after the Weed Whacker Show tonight on Westwood One, it'll be adult acne.
Ooh.
How do you deal with adult acne with your host, Steve Johnson?
Fantastic. It's a great show, and it's very informative, especially for you teenagers out there.
Yeah, well, it's adult acne. Steve suffers from adult acne. I believe some call it pockmark.
Yeah, very difficult to deal with, but he's making headway with medication and with sun lamps.
We've got the lineup right here on Westwood One.
Happy and this is Mrs. Latouris's little baby boy, Mike Latouris.
And it's 2 for the road on this Friday get-together. We're online with Tim from Oregon, who sells caskets and also sells ice cream. Can you tell me, if someone comes in to buy a casket, do they get a gallon of their favorite ice cream, sir?
We've even sold 3 gallons at a time.
Wow, that's incredible. You know, they can be solemn occasions. I know when my sister's brother, actually, answered my brother, too, Anita Clitoris, she was very, very distraught. I think ice cream probably would have brought her around.
And if I could be serious for a moment here, my grandfather recently passed away.
I'm so sorry. You mentioned that briefly, but you haven't talked about it much on the show. Your grandfather, he was also in the broadcast business, wasn't he?
He was. He was a
pioneer, actually, in the
famous broadcaster. York Oxbig.
Right.
And he...
York is one of the stand-up broadcasters of the Midwest, actually.
One of the greatest, yeah, and I want to tell you, it was a sad occasion when we had to bury York Oxbig, and we really, really could have used some ice cream at a funeral like the one that we had with all of the Oxbigs gathered around Grandpa York Oxbig. What flavor would you recommend
at the actual viewing?
Death by chocolate.
That's fantastic.
Death by chocolate.
I don't want to give away any of your secrets here. Can you give us a price of what it would cost to get the average casket and a gallon of ice cream? Well, you know, out the door, you know, with the casket and the ice cream all together, tell us what it would be. Can
well,
you do that for
I'll
us,
tell you, if you would come over today and buy a casket from us, we would probably give you a gallon of ice cream.
Oh, that, hey, is that generous or what?
Give them a gallon of ice cream.
Fantastic. Station break time. Good afternoon, everybody.
It's 33 minutes past the hour. I'm Mike Hoxbig.
And I'm Mike Clitoris.
And coming up at the top of the hour, it's Weed Whacker with Mike Elston. Then it's going to be Adult Acne, Pro and Con with Steve Johnson. And then tonight we're going to be looking at race relations. The Rob Spiewak Show.
Fantastic. Always controversial, always informative.
Tonight, Rob takes on the KKK.
Oh, boy, that's a serious problem. And it's a serious discussion whenever Spiewak's on the line. Sure, he makes a lot of people mad, but a lot of people listen to him, too.
And a lot of people agree with him. A lot of people think he makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, those are scary people. I don't mind telling you.
That's the lineup tonight here on Westwood One National Radio. Hi, everybody. This is Mike Hoxbig.
And I'm Mike Clitoris.
And we're just about out of time for our interview with Tim from Oregon. Tim, the combination of caskets and ice cream, is this something you're thinking of franchising throughout America?
Probably not. It just kind of happened by accident. I mean, we were in the casket business. We've been in the casket business several years, and all of a sudden we had this big showroom and no ice cream in town, so here we are, coffee, ice cream, and caskets.
I got an idea. You can bring a lot of people in there and have a super weekend wake-tacular.
Yes, we could.
All right, fantastic.
Well, we want to thank you very much for your time. This is Mike Oxbury.
And this is Mike Clitoris.
And we want to once again give you the lineup. Coming up on Westwood One, traffic, weather together. You got the Weed Whacker Show with Mike Elston.
That's right.
And you've got the Adult Acne Show with Steve Johnson. And then you've got Rob Spiewak's Circle of Hate.
Oh, it's a fantastic show. Very informative and very enjoyable.
And tonight, I believe the infomercial, you and yeast infection.
And don't forget, weekends are fantastic when you start your weekend with Charlie Warren.
Right here on the Westwood One Radio Network. Well, for now, this is Mike Hoxbig.
And Mike Clitoris.
Hey, thank you to Tim from Oregon. Tim, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure talking to you.
So long, Tim.
Okay, bye.
Well, that shows you can hold on just a moment. Our producer would like to give you some more information. Hold on.
Oh, okay.
The special about yeast infection. That's especially important to many of the women who work here at the radio station.
Absolutely. Remember, tune in. It's not just for baking bread.
Hi, Tim. Hi, it's the real Bob O'Brien again. How are you? How do you think that went? We loved it. Yeah, I think it was excellent. Yeah. It is we who appreciate you, Tim, and the good work you do. Say, would it be possible for you to send us a quart of ice cream?
Through the mail. Send it in the summer.
Well, how about a casket or a piece of juniper or something? We like to take a little memento from each of our interviews. We have a shelf. Yeah, send us some juniper.
Hey, tell them real spontaneous. Right. We'd like to talk to them on the air again.
Spontaneous. Hold it. This is unprecedented. Mike and Mike would like to speak to you again. Can you hold on a second? The next voices you hear, you'll be on the air.
Listen, everybody, this is real seat-of-the-pants type stuff we never do on the show.
I'll tell you, this is Mike Clitoris.
And we wanted to... We understand you were just talking to our producer. Are you there, Tim?
Yes.
Tim, are you talking to the real Bob O'Brien?
Yes.
Would it be possible that you could send us some ice cream? We like getting a gift from everybody who's been on the Mike Hoxbill, Mike Clitoris
show. I'd rather send you a piece of juniper because I don't think the ice cream would get there very well.
How about a gift certificate? Well, I guess we're not going to be out there. You go, what kind of juniper? A carving?
What's that?
A carving?
We don't have carvings.
A piece of juniper from one of the caskets?
We could do that.
Hey, is there any chance you could take some jewelry off of one of the steps?
Probably not.
About
sending you I will send you a picture of our product and our shop.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
That's great.
Hey, I do need an address, though.
We'll be glad to give that to you. I just wanted to say to you right now, this is Mike Oxbig.
And this is Mike Latouris, and aren't we out of time?
We're out of time. You know, time. A time, it's a creature of the heart, and our time is your time, and the current time's 38 minutes past the hour. I wish we had more time together, because any time we're talking to a guy who sells caskets of ice cream, it's a good time. Until next time, here's hoping all of the little times end up being great times for you. This is Mike Oxbig.
And Mike Latouris.
Thanks for being on the show. I'm sorry our time is up.
Hold on.
Thank you, Tim.
Yes.
Stand by. Thank you.
Stand by for the real Bob O'Brien.
I just forgot to do the our time is your time.
The address is 10800. That's 10800.
You'll send it,
Main Street.
Make sure you spell the names.
Main, M-A-I-N, Street.
Oh, dear.
Fairfax, F-A-I-O.
Let's see if he gets it when Rob spells Mike Oxbig and Mike Latouris.
He's right.
Yes.
Rob gives the French spelling of Mike Latouris.
It's Fairfax, Virginia, 22030.
Oh.
Fairfax.
Wow.
Fairbanks, Virginia. Fairbanks. 22030.
And that's attention of...
Oh, and here's the names you want on it. Mike, that's M-I-K-E, Oxbig, O-X-B-I-G-G.
I forgot, two G's.
G-G. And Mike, M-I-K-E, Latouris, that's capital L, small A, capital T, small A, small U, small R, small U, small S. Okay, Latouris, capital A, I'm sorry, capital L, small A, big T, and then all the rest are little, A-U-R-U-S.
Have him repeat the names back to you.
Could you give that back to me? They're really looking forward to the juniper.
Forward.
Throw in a picture of you as well. But we need to knit. What are the names? Read them back to me. Ox Big. B as in boy.
Still not figured it out. No.
Yeah, really?
Yes. O X B I double G.
Double G.
Mike Oxbig.
Mike Oxbig.
Mike Latouris.
And what do you have on that other name?
What's he saying?
He's saying.
No, let's try this once more. Capital L.
Oh, my God.
It's Mike Latouris who's having the problem.
Oh, thank God.
Small P. It's
French.
Small A. Small U. Small R. Small U.
Small S.
Are you familiar with the Ford Taurus? The automobile?
The Ford Taurus.
It's like the Ford Taurus, but it's La Taurus. Now, spell it back to me.
He's going through capital L, small A, capital T, small A, small U.
It still has never dawned on this guy.
No. Right.
My cock's big. My clitoris.
Never will.
La Taurus. Now, could you read the whole address?
Oh, God. Oh, no.
All right, Rob.
Come on. He's got it.
Yes?
Well, see, this is funny for Rob.
Rob's having a hoot right
Rob's
now. Sorry about the silence.
Get the guy
what
on the phone.
What names you have on it? What are the names? Oxbig.
He's still the guy.
I tell you what, you hold on to your pictures. You've done very well. If you want to send the juniper, that'd be great.
There he goes.
And God bless.
There he goes.
My God.
Wow.
Fantastic.
What was the other side of that conversation like, Rob? I'd
like to hear it, Rob.
Jesus Christ.
And seriously, at one point, it was like Tom Gavin. He says, it's Mike Ox Leg and Mike L-A... M-N-O-R-S-T.
That's the best kind of an Ox Biglatoris interview. Absolutely.
Sure is. We look forward to that arriving in Fairbanks, Virginia.
All right. Gotcha. Thank you. We sure do love doing that just because we love saying, my cock's big.
And Mike Latsouris.
We will be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, this is Furio Junta from The Sopranos. I never listen to you. Goodbye.
Providing the soundtrack to your thunderous orgasm.
Yeah.
The Don and Mike Show.
Okay, before I get all worked up, hey, Lisa, would you please come back in here?
Hmm.
I mean, she will get me worked up, but that, not that kind of worked up. I have a hard time figuring out what's really going on around here. So, were they chopping that last bit?
Yeah, apparently, every time one of you would, if you would say your name first, they would dump you. And sometimes your name would get through, Mike. Sometimes both of them would be dumped, but throughout that whole bit, it was being chopped up.
Oh, boo.
How many times have we done that bit before? We've
done that bit a bunch of times.
This is my cock's big.
We thought that that was
and
fine.
And Mike Latouris.
Mm-hmm. We thought that was okay. We thought that was in the guise of being okay.
You know what it is? It's
there's no set rule. Give us the book!
Jim McClure, answer the friggin' phone. Tell us if you're editing the show.
Hello.
Sit up there with this big E.T.
Hello.
Here. Did you just dump out of that last bit we were doing?
A couple times, yeah.
We've done it.
Why?
We've done that bit for a year.
And it was fine when you were saying the names properly, but I thought there was
but
no
tell
time.
Us beforehand.
No.
You're not qualified to edit this show. Nobody ever told us. Nobody. There's no goddamn communication.
Jesus Christ, we're doing a funny bit.
I don't know. Jimmy, we got to know what the ground rules are, buddy.
So it's okay to say my cock's big, but not okay to say my cock's big. Even though they're both the same thing.
M-I-K-E-O-X-B-I-G.
G.
That's right.
Two G's.
Really?
We just, I mean, there's got to be some uniformity with all this.
Goddamn, are you the most paranoid... Son of a bitch. I'm not doing a bit with you now, and I'm not doing this for the show. Really? What's going through your mind, man?
It's paranoia. You're absolutely right. I've been told that when I monitor this, there's things I have to look out for, and we are very, very paranoid. Absolutely.
Well, we have done this bit before, and if you know that there's a regular bit, that we got to know these things before. It's not fair to our listening audience to chop it as we go along. Now, when certain words come up and that happens, it's different than when we have a prepared bit that you hear us promoting that we're going to be doing. And you just stay up there, and what do you think? We're not going to find out?
No, I don't try and hide it.
Well, then why don't come down and let us know before the fact? Before our listeners enjoy 20 minutes of dead air.
Yeah, and they don't get any of the jokes.
There is plenty of it on there. There's two or three I took out.
Two or three?
Well, two or three, that takes a lot of time.
Two or three, that's so subjective. And what, those are the ones that you found objectionable?
Yes.
Why?
Because I thought that you said it in a different tone, different way than you said the other ones.
But we are doing it in the contest, and we spell the names.
I don't know if you've checked out what's happening on this station, but this is the 4 hours of Oasis that you have, where you're not getting your ass kicked by every other station in town.
I do know that. I do
appreciate
that.
Why don't you worry about the other 20 hours of the day and just keep your goddamn mitts off this show? I'm serious. You're killing us with this. I mean, I understand you. You want to sit up there. You want to edit out sexual content. You have to edit out bodily functions.
It's a goofy play on words that has no sexual significance whatsoever. It's a goofy, silly thing. It's defendable.
You are ruining the show.
And if it's not in the book, if it's not the letter of the law, then you gotta help us out a little bit, Jim. You do.
Because it's your call.
And I try and make the best call I can.
And if you're not going to make that call, for God's sakes, let us know going in. Bite that bullet.
Yeah, because we're the ones that are embarrassed.
God's not going to do that. We're not going to do that if we think it's going to be chopped.
Our audience is calling us up saying, hey, what's going on with this bit? We can't follow this bit. Someone's hitting the dump button a million times.
It's silly. It's fun. It's absolutely perfect.
It's you. I mean, listen, I understand why you're worried about your job security. I understand why. But the reason your job security is not in such great state has nothing to do with the 4.5 hours a day that we're on the air. You know, maybe you could thought a little bit about programming the rest of this goddamn station, and less time covering your ass, because we're doing a bit with Mike Oxbig and Mike Latouris,
which is just a goof. And you know, Jimmy, if that's the way it is, we got to know this stuff going in. We can't. It's not fair to just sit up there and hit a button when we've got a prepared bit. It's totally different when you edit out certain content that goes in a certain direction.
And that is
on the spur of the moment. That we understand.
It's a bit that we've done a million times before.
And we set it up beforehand. If you want to come back, if you want to come downstairs before we do the bit and say, hey, do it this way. Make sure it's not over the top. It's still funny. We can still broadcast it.
But we didn't do anything that was wrong. Come on, you are splitting hairs when you're talking about how something was pronounced. You really are.
And you're right. This time I'm splitting hairs. Typically, I've never had to worry about it before, but I thought this time it was.
Yeah. Well, and you know why you didn't have to worry about it before? Because you didn't get yelled at like you got yelled at 2 weeks ago when they told you you're a dumbass and the station is falling apart. True or false? I know what happened. They called you and they told you the station's a mess.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how you're trying to fix it?
This has nothing to do with anything else other than just monitoring the show and trying to be safe.
Well, I worry about the other 20 hours a day.
I worry about everything.
Well, don't worry about these 4.5 hours.
It just screws up the show, Jim. It really does.
This is the 4.5 hours of the day when you don't have to worry. When you got two guys who know what they're doing. Jesus. You know, and if you want to pick a fight, pick a fight over something big.
Oh, I don't want to pick a fight at all.
Don't pick a fight over a harmless bit like Mike Oxbig and Mike Latouris. Jesus. You're killing us.
Yeah, that kills us, Jim. That absolutely kills us when you do that.
You really are killing us.
And I say once again, we promoted it. You knew it was coming. If you knew this was going to happen, you got to let us know instead of just sitting up there where we don't know what's going on.
You won't.
Because we're going to find out, Jim, every time it happens.
If I knew it was going to happen, then I would tell you. But I don't know what you're going
to
do.
Wait, hold on. We promoted it.
To an extent.
We got it.
I know. When you say on the air, we're going to do this, or you're going to even tell me beforehand, that's fine. And if you had done it the way you've done it in the past, it would have been fine. But I thought this time you didn't.
We did it exactly the same way we've done it every time.
Absolutely.
Do you want me to get out the tapes and play you the tapes?
No.
We did it the same way. And if you know what the bit is. You listen to the show.
I do.
You listen every day. You have to listen. You're paid to listen to it. You know it's coming. If there's a concern, run down here and even in the middle of the bit, let us know, really.
The difference is that they yelled at you a couple of weeks ago and told you that you're a bad manager, and now you're trying to save your job. Well, save your job somewhere else. Don't save your job by chopping up this show. You know, and frankly, you want to be a real manager. Why don't you give us a list of what we can do and what we can't do?
Absolutely. Let us know, because otherwise,
furthermore,
you know, we cruise along and it gets chopped.
Furthermore, you know, we get edited out when a listener calls up and says a-hole. Because you guys changed the rules. Because you said a listener can say a-hole. Then you said, no, a listener can't say a-hole. Well, I'm in the car today. I'm listening to the morning show. And they're running tape with listeners saying a-hole. So there's a double standard there.
And that should be edited here, too.
But it's not. And that's my point. How come this is the only show on the station that's edited?
Every show on the station is edited.
Oh, bull-ass. Bull-ass. Liddy's got a guy up there sitting on a button.
Liddy has somebody in the studio with him on a button who dumps
him
regularly.
No, he doesn't have some guy like you.
The other three shows do.
Well, just for future reference, really, we got to have guidelines here. We got to know, and if it's a dynamic that's always changing, we got to know every day. And that's your job. If you're doing this to us,
as
if it's going to happen,
as you have your job.
If it's happening in the middle of the show, we have to know. That is the only fair way to handle this.
I'll do my best to communicate.
No, I don't like do my best.
No,
that's
got to
be a lock. I don't like do my best.
I will tell you. I will give you every detail I can give you.
Just don't screw with it, man.
And if you're going to screw with it, get it to us while it's happening, because we don't want to just trundle on while we don't know that things are being delayed. We got to know that while it's going on.
And you know, frankly, Jim, we don't go over the line. We don't let the F-bomb go. We don't let the S-bomb go. We don't let the T-word go.
Once we have the rules in hand, we play by the rules,
but if you're going to start deleting out wacky, goofy, sophomoric names like Mike Oxbig and Mike Latouris, then, you know, You're taking away everything that we do on this show.
It's dumb. It's silly. I mean, it's not. And I don't think it falls into the category of the other stuff. I really don't.
And on a general basis, it does not. I thought, like I said, there was a couple instances, but typically it does not, and that's why I typically don't screw with it.
All right.
But you did in this case.
Please don't do it again.
And you did just because your job's hanging by a thread. Worry about the other shows on this station. And don't ever come to me and ask me for help. Because you got no balls, Jimmy. You've got no balls. For instance, how come you never came to me with the stuff about Rudy's money?
That was something I was going to deal with behind the scenes, and I don't want to talk about on the air.
Yeah, behind the scenes. Something I've known about for 2 weeks. That for 2 weeks you've been supposed to come speak to me about that. But you didn't. Because you're afraid to. What, you think I don't know that? Just like I know you're afraid to come down here and say to us, don't do this bit, because you might do something that someone would complain about. You know, yeah, we'd get mad at you, but we'd get a hell of a lot less mad than we are right now.
It's better to deal with these things before than after. It really is, or at least while it's going on. If there's a concern, that's got to get into here, because otherwise we're being cheated and the listeners are being cheated. And if we know that something's not being broadcast or something's being delayed, you know, we're going to either talk about it or we're going to pull off of it.
And you're killing us because
that kills us, Jimmy. That does kill us.
What we were just doing was not obscene, was not filthy. It was sophomoric. It was juvenile. It was funny, and you deleted it out because you've got a pucker factor.
It was, you know, you got to let us know. We got to know what rules we're playing by, and nobody seems to want to do that.
I understand.
Take fear out of the equation.
You know, everybody enjoys the fact that you can make lots of money on this show. Everybody loves saying that this is an outrageous show. This is a really funny show. It's a really funny show. But when it comes right down to it, you're chopping the hell out of us. You really are. And don't ask me for free pointers on how to fix this station. Like that line of BS you gave me in the hall the other day.
Hey, maybe sometime we could just talk about how to, you know, about making the station better.
Please.
Aye, aye,
aye. I'm not on that team. I'm on this team right here for 4 hours a day. This is my team. And don't screw with the bits on the show on my team. You got your rules. You got your dirty words that we can't say. But what you do, what the call you made was subjective, and it was wrong.
That may be.
And you screwed up a bit, and I know why you did it. Because you're afraid you're going to get fired. I'm telling you, you got tons more to worry about on this station than us saying Mike Oxbig and Mike Latouris.
That's very true. But at this time, that was what I'm worried about.
All right, well, I hope we got our... Did we make our point?
Absolutely.
Try to operate from a position of strength rather than a position of cowardness. Why the hell do you think nobody in the station respects you, man? Because you got no balls. You want to be everybody's friend. You want to be a good manager? Tell people the truth. And I'm just like I'm doing now, I'm telling you the truth. You were wrong to edit that out of the show. Worry about the rest of the station.
I appreciate your opinion.
All right.
You know my opinion is right. God damn it, you know it's right.
It may be.
No. Not it may be. It is. You are worried about being fired.
I'm worried about the show right now.
You did overreact.
I'm worried about the show.
You're worried about this show?
Right now, yes. That's what I'm worrying about.
Why are you worried about this show?
Because that's what I'm being paid to do. I'm paid to make sure that the show is happy and make sure that there's no trouble. And at the time, that was my decision. It may have been overreacting. Absolutely may have been.
That is one point, but I'll tell you this right now. Even if you thought that, the real obligation was for you to get that information to us.
And even then,
while it's happening, the first time you thought it was questionable was to get that to us, so we don't subject our listeners to those chunks of dead air, which just sounds like crap.
And even now, you don't have the balls to say that what you thought was right or was wrong. You're wishy-washy now.
No, I think I'm right, but I still think I'm right.
Well, why didn't you say that?
You didn't ask me.
Well, you know,
I think I made the right decision,
you, but you know you're wrong about the fact. You may think you're right about that, but you're wrong about the fact of not letting us know what's going on.
That is true.
Because, you know, you want to talk about keeping happy. There's a question of keeping happy. The most important people to keep happy are the listeners. That's who you want to keep
And
happy.
When you're sitting up there pushing a button just so you don't get in trouble.
There's people are out there driving home from work, throwing their hands up in the air going, hey, well, what the hell is going on? What's that?
We can't follow this.
Especially if they hear one little, they hear it once and then they can't hear it again. You know, they hear it once and then they hear it bleeped out. I mean, how ridiculous is that? The universals, there ought to be a little more of a there ought to be a book. There ought to be a goddamn book.
And just because,
I agree with you. There ought to be.
And just because you didn't like the interpretation of the word, of the way that it was said.
If there was a book, my life would be a billion times easier.
Well, you know what? Somebody's got to put that book together, Jimmy. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen by magic.
It ain't going to be him.
And I'll tell you, it's got to happen.
It's going to be the next program director that does it.
Honestly,
I'd like to meet the person who can write the book.
Okay. I'm getting...
Yeah, you'd like to meet the person who could write the book. You're talking to him. You know why? Because I would have no problem outlining rules, hard regulations. Say this, don't say this. Simple. I sure wouldn't be second-guessing and screwing with shows, editing out stuff just to cover my own ass. Which is all you're doing. Christ. Really, man. Just lay off the button. I got two guys on the button down here. I don't need you on the button. I don't need three button pushers. This is not a grease man type show. You don't need to have someone up there monitoring the show all 4.5 hours. I got Rob on a button. I got Charlie on a button. I need you on a button. And I got a button. That's four buttons. Love buttons. Jesus. Okay, great. Nice talking to you. Thanks for your help.
Thank you.
Are you going to stay in town this weekend and listen to your radio station? Or are you going to Philly to see your girlfriend?
You mean the one who's lived here for the last 7 months?
Are you going to be in town this weekend?
Absolutely.
You going to be listening to the station?
Yes, I am.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You going to catch the promos when the wrong promos run?
I sure hope they won't run wrong this weekend. But yes, I'll be in town listening quite a bit.
Okay, let's play a game this weekend, and I'm not even the program director.
Okay.
Why don't we come in on Monday and compare notes off the air and see who noticed more screw-ups on this station over the weekend?
Okay.
Okay?
If you want to play, that's fine.
Yeah, it's an interesting game. It might help you learn something.
I'd love to do that.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. La, 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 la.
All right, hang up, Jimmy. You're making me mad.
Thank you. Goodbye.
What a douchebag. Just, I mean, let us know.
You know what?
I don't care what you feel about the content. Let us know, for Christ's sake, when that's happening.
Jeremy had bigger balls. Jeremy would come down and hold up a sign that says stop.
He would run down. He would.
Yeah.
He would.
He'd come down with
a sign. I hate to say anything nice about Jeremy, but he would. He would run down.
Come down with a sign that said stop this.
You can't do this and run it. Or he'd come right on my room and say you can't. And Jeremy would do that. Jeremy did it all the time. And he'd take the heat, which is much less heat than Jim McClure just took. And Jim McClure took that heat because it was after the fact. Because we found out. Because people called us. Because listeners called in. That's when we found out. That's not the way it's supposed to work.
And of all things to edit, man. I mean, they're editing out sophomoric, juvenile, goofy name.
And you said it. You and I, we do play by the rules. You give us the rules, we play by them. That's the name of that game. We do. When it's spelled out, do we test? Do we push the envelope whenever we can?
Yes.
Absolutely.
And
the name of the game. That's what they want us to do.
And the thing that's a pisser is that behind the scenes, this is the most poorly managed, poorly produced, poorly staffed radio station I have ever worked at in my life. And there are a million different areas that they could be concerned about fixing. A million different areas. But no, he's got to sit up there and edit out stuff on this show.
The show that's successful.
Yeah.
The show with the following. The show that expects a certain level. The show that really doesn't disappoint every day when you put it on. The show that tries to be consistent and tries to give people what they want. And I cannot believe it sometimes. I cannot believe that they focus on stuff like this. It is not the right thing to do.
The show that's carrying the radio station. I'm not bull-assing you on that.
Okay.
You know, F him. That's the, and the whole problem is exactly what I said. He's afraid of confrontation. He's afraid to say anything to me. Screw him. And I'll tell you the whole thing with Rudy. This was simple. They promised a raise to Charlie Broyhill, I don't know, a year ago. Now, keep in mind that I have, out of my own pocket, paid for Charlie Broyhill to have insurance benefits when this company wouldn't do it. They lied to him about a raise 2 years ago. I paid him out of my own pocket. Not a small amount of money. The second year, I paid him out of my own pocket. The third year, after they guaranteed him a raise, and I was in the room while they guaranteed him the raise,
right.
They don't give him the raise. So we go to them and we say, here's what you do. You know what? You take a little money from Rudy Martsky, because we don't use Rudy every week anymore.
Right.
And you take that money, and you put that money. Is he editing this out?
I don't think so.
Okay, I just heard a click. You take a little bit of the money from Rudy, and you put that into Charlie Broyhill's raise that you promised him. Well, 2 weeks ago, it got back to me that they've decided just to take the money from Rudy and not give it to Charlie as they promised.
Oh, great.
And Jimmy doesn't have the balls to call Rudy and tell him that Jimmy wants me to call Rudy and tell him that.
Peachy.
So for the last 2 weeks, I've been sitting around waiting for Jimmy to come to me with this dilemma so that I could say no. But he hasn't for 2 weeks.
Well, Rudy Martsky is the reason Bob Costas was on this show today.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. You know it. I mean, there's behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on here. That's incredible. Absolutely incredible. This is the most poorly managed station in the market. I got to know other radio people listen to this station and laugh their asses off. They laugh at the dead air. They laugh at the segments that are mistimed. They laugh at the amount of times when other radio stations' call letters get mentioned on the air because we hired board ops and we pay them $5 an hour. But all of that aside, just don't edit this show. The show's the one thing you've got going for you.
Sure is. It sure is.
Okay. Thanks. And Jimmy, none of this would have happened if you would have had the balls to come downstairs and just hold up a sign that says, knock it off.
Like Jeremy used to.
Yeah. We would have asked you why, but it wouldn't have been like this. God damn. You know, a funny little harmless bit.
I mean, really, I think when people look at a show like this, that is the absolute typical bit that we do. That's what this show is all about. It's innocent. It's fun. That's what it is. Is it naughty? Absolutely. Is it fun? Yes. That's it. That's all it is.
Is it obscene? Let's be honest. Is it obscene? No. Is it citable by the FCC? No.
No way.
No, it's not.
No, it's typical of what we do. And when you start screwing with that, you know, you might as well get a couple of other ponies in here. I mean, because it's not working.
Right.
It's not working at all. Let us do our job, please. Let us do our job that we've done for 15 years.
And he's up there overreacting because they almost fired him 2 weeks ago. And then the ratings came out, except for this show, the ratings suck. So now he's even more worried. So that's how he's reacting. So he can go down like a good boy and say to Alan tonight, well, I hit the button.
Good, okay. Of course he had to. Good, good, good. All right.
I just said F you. I felt good. I just really said it, and I didn't hit the delay. Let him hit it. He's good at it.
Yeah, he is.
That's his job. Jim McClure, his big bony fingers, good sensor he is. Okay. Sorry about that. We just hate to be edited, and unnecessarily edited. We really do. We got a break, and we'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
And
Uncle Jim, could you say hi to Don and Mike?
Don and Mike, yeah. They're related to you?
They're my bosses.
Oh, okay. Don and Mike, we miss you guys. I wish you were here so you can pay this guy his salary.
Are you going to listen to him from now on WNEW?
I'd love to. Oh, Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. I love those guys. We had a great time. We talked.
We are proudly inviting all of America to eat their bung. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, we talk.
Hey, Don and Mike. Lord, you don't know could fill a book.
All right. This bit of therapy is over. I just love a fax we just got on the fax machine, you know. With the guy, I guess some guy who's never listened to the show before. I have lost all respect for Don for talking about off-the-air issues on the air.
Yeah, welcome to the show. There you go.
These are issues that should be discussed behind closed doors, not on the radio.
Thank you so much.
Please.
Never heard the show before?
Right. Okay. Well, enough of that. We'll deal with all this crap later. Now, a Friday favorite.
And someone who can help us like that.
I really do. Someone who knows how to deal with problems, with stool pigeons.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Tony.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
I am Buzz.
Hey, Tony. Hey.
Tony Soprano.
What's the deal? What's he doing? Why is he busting your balls? Is there any particular reason why he's busting your balls? I got a way of dealing with that situation. I could help you.
I know you're good.
You come to me, you ask me for help, I just give you some help. You know what I mean? If you really want me to help you, I could go up there, I could talk to him, I could sit in his office, I could look across at him and go, don't hit that button. You hit that button, you're going to lose that finger. You know what I mean? You lose that. You hit that button again, you lose your finger. I swear to God. I swear to God. You'll get that finger chopped off. If you take that button again, I'll take that finger, chop it off, and I'll give it to you as a suppository. All right? What else do I do there? You know?
I wish you would, Tony.
What a big, all right?
God, I wish you would.
Oh, jeez. Hey, how you doing? Hey, it's good to see you.
Why has it been,
I don't know,
over a year since The Sopranos has been on TV?
Oh, God. It's been trouble. I don't see. You want the show back on the air, right?
Yes.
All right, that's what it's going to be back on the air. Everybody asks me, why so long? Why so long?
Why so long?
So it's like, you know, it's a fine wine. It takes a while to craft it, to make the show what it's supposed to be. Then we have to put it in the can. We have to ferment it. We have to get it actually ready to bubble. And then it's got to sizzle. And then we got to throw it on. And then, you know, come on, all right? You know, that's what it's supposed to be. I'm sorry, okay? I'm sorry. What do you want me to do? I got to feed the family. I got to make the episodes. I got to work.
So your mom's dead.
Yeah, my mother's dead. Yeah.
You're not happy about that?
That's not happy. I'm not happy about the whole thing. She had tried to have me waxed. What do you mean, man?
Right, and you tried to kill her. You were going
to... Of course I tried to kill her. I tried to kill her because she tried to kill me. Well, that's the way it works. It's dog eat dog. I don't care if it's my mother. I tell you right now, I'll go down to Oswald. I'll try to dig him down. I'll try to dig him up out of the face. That's the thing I'm supposed to do. No, my mother tried to kill me. You can't look me in the eye and tell me I was wrong about that. You can't look me in the eye and tell me I was wrong about that. I tried to turn my mother with a pillow. Come on now, give me a break. Of course you did. My mother was a bitch. I tell you right now, my mother was a bitch. I just asked my friend, Mike Clitoris. I tell you right now, she just drove me nuts, you know what I mean? Oh, but I'll calm down, you know, it's like, oh. Oh, boy.
What, Tony?
No, I get this anxiety thing happening in a way.
You know, I saw the episodes from last year where at one of those parties, you started to get the...
I break out in a sweat.
Did you?
You start to go, you know, I need one of my pills. Hold on. Give me my pills. I just got to get a little water.
Okay, hey, Rob, you got a tranquilizer? Hey, Rob.
I got my own pill. Hi, Rob.
How you doing?
Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. How you doing? You going to come to the club?
Yeah.
All right. Polly Wallace was asking you. So was Silvio.
Okay.
Not Uncle June. After last year, you remember this guy? What about this guy?
Look at that, hugs all around.
Absolutely, he's a knucklehead, he's a killer.
And you remember this guy, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah, I remember, Buzz.
You know what he said to me?
He was talking to, I know he had some problems.
No, I mean, it was what he said to me now.
The bridge. I don't want to, you know, I want to belabor. Right, I don't want to get all that thing.
I want to just tell you, you know, I'm not going to belabor the point.
I believe in looking forward, you know, not looking backwards. That's okay.
Before the show,
yes.
Give me USA Today. Has your picture there?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good light, isn't that? There you go.
You know what he said?
I understand what he said.
He held the newspaper up.
Yeah.
Tony, Carm Soprano.
That's Carm. Right. You got Uncle June right there. You got Dr. Melfi right there. You got Meadow and AJ right there. You got Silvio. You got Paulie Wallace. All there on the other underneath there. There you go. Yeah.
He said to me.
Yeah.
This man in the next room, Buzz.
What did he say?
Said, pointed to AJ and he said, "Do you think he has pubic hair yet?"
No, I didn't. No,
do you think he has dark, full pubic hair yet?
I didn't say that. I never would say anything like that.
What? That's what he said.
He said,
wait, this guy over here, again, after last year?
Buzz.
After last year, after all the stuff he went through, he said, what? He said, ASU of AJ and pubic hair. I'll tell you right now, you can do the last newscast, Burbank. I'll tell you right now, I'll put you 6 feet under the ground. I'll take you out into the Jersey Meadowlands. I will dig a hole so deep they won't be able to find you. They won't be able to find you. I'll pull a lime out of myself. I swear to God, I will chop your head off. I'll chop your head off and I will take a dump in your neck. You understand? Right in the hole, right there. That's right. And then I'll have the rats eat it out.
No, it's untrue. I would never say anything like that.
You just wind your P's and Q's right now.
Hold on.
I'll tell you right now, I'm getting very upset.
He's trying to frame me.
I'm getting very upset.
Let me get a background witness.
Yeah, okay.
You know Rob.
Hey, Robbie.
Hey,
Rob.
Hey, Tony.
How you doing?
What's
you
up, right?
Oh, yeah, you're doing all right.
Did
all
he
right.
say it?
Yeah.
And he also asked how developed he thought his chest was.
No, I didn't know. Well, see, that's silly. I would never say anything.
Hold on.
Like
you just stop it right there. What did he say?
The quote was, do you think AJ is ripped?
Ripped? Like his chest, like muscles?
Yeah, like a six-pack.
Yeah, like some kind of creep?
Yeah,
some kind of sicko? Some kind of sicko fag trying to go take advantage of the little boys? And I tell you right now, you wouldn't last a day in a joint. You couldn't do a turn in the joint. And
you're
did
right.
a turn in the joint. I read right now, you know what? I'm going to chop your arms off, and I'm going to beat you over the head with them.
Please.
I'm going to take them over the shoulders. I'm going to take a sharp saw with big teeth, and I'm going to chop them off and hit you over the head right now. And then I'm going to drop you off at the airport. You won't be able to find your way.
Tony, please don't do that. I would never say anything like that.
I tell you right now, that's really started. I tell you right now, you know, it was all fine until you started selling weed.
I respect you.
I tell you, it's really driving me nuts, man. I tell you, it's driving me nuts. You just remind. You better keep an eye. You get up 2 eyes in the back of your head right there because if you have 2 eyes...
Tony, did you take your medication?
I took my medication. I'm just fine. I'm fine.
Tony? Tony?
I'm okay, Doc. I'm okay. Let me get some water.
All right.
Let me get some water right now. Just have a little sip right there. Why are you trying to upset me like that?
All right. I'm not trying to bust your balls.
I was talking to Dr. Melfi this the other day, and I had one of my fantasies where I was bagging Dr. Melfi, Lorraine Bracco, until she talked. Jesus, how about that voice?
So what was it? You're also in this dumb Julia Roberts movie.
Julia Roberts is a piece of ass. Hey! Man, you want to talk about a piece of ass. You know, she goes out with that Quibo, whoever that guy is.
Benjamin.
He's a little bitty brat. Yeah, I'll tell you right now. So what do you know with it? You need a real guy that farts like me, big me. You know, right now, you know, she says, oh, Jimmy. And she calls me that, you know, Jimmy. She just presses my chest. She's a little touchy. She touches my elbow. She tells me down right down to the wrist. Oh, she's great looking. I'll tell you right now, she is really something else. She is really put together. She is fantastic. She
bang her?
Huh?
Did you bang her?
Nah, she wouldn't have anything to do with me. She said, oh, Jimmy, you know, a lot of the touch. One time, you know, she was touching my leg, and I tell you, you know, there's a pitch of 10 right there. You know the scene last year where I'm in the doctor's office, I got the fantasy going, and I got the Woody? You know that one where I'm sitting there with my
two hands
right over it? Yeah,
got that happened
in real life. Yes, sir. And you know what I got news for you? It's that big. Hey! There you go. But I think, you know, we're going to have a good season this year. It's going to be a good time. Everybody's going to enjoy themselves. I think you'll be very pleased. I think you'll be pleased. I think you want to eat the whole tray. I think you really enjoy it. I think you're going to enjoy Sopranos this year. It's going to be a fantastic show. Uncle June and I with a lot of turmoil. And let me talk normally. I won't talk like Tony.
Okay, so David, now we're going to talk to James Gandolfini.
Huh. Yeah, hi, how are you?
Wow.
How's it going? Nice to see you.
It sounds a lot like Tony.
Well, it sounds like Tony, but, you know, I don't always... the Jim Gandolfini, you can call me that.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you?
Now, may I call you Jimmy?
You can call me James or Jimmy. It doesn't matter.
Jimmy G?
Whatever you want.
JG?
Whatever you want. How are you?
Wow.
There are a lot of people that try to do, Tony Soprano, but there are very few that do me, the soft-spoken Jim Gandolfini. How are you?
So,
how are you, Don?
So what you were doing is, you're a great actor. What you were doing is actually pretending to be Tony Soprano.
Well, that's what I do. You know, I'm concerned about doing the parts and, how you guys doing? It's good to come on a radio show and do that. You know, and I could be Tony or I could be Jim, but right now I'm being Jim Gandolfini. How are you, Don?
Well, can I tell you something in real life?
Yeah.
Now, James Gandolfini, Jim,
sure.
Jimmy?
Sure.
I know in real life you have a son.
Yes, I do.
A young Jimmy Jr.
Jimmy Gandolfini Jr. And can I tell you that before the show today?
Yes.
Buzz.
Yes.
And now you know I'm not kidding because we're using real names and right. We're all talking in our real voices.
Yes, of course.
I mentioned how tight your son's buttocks were.
What? Him over there?
Yeah.
No, you're in big trouble, mister.
No, Mr. Gandolfini, I never would do anything.
You better mind your P's and Q's.
No,
I'm a very powerful actor in Hollywood.
He's just joking around.
Okay, you just watch it.
Yeah, I will.
Because I might have to hit you in the head.
No, I respect you.
All right. Can I go back to being Tony now?
Hold on. Just be James for a few more moments.
Sure, Don.
Let's say that...
Yes?
I'm your agent.
I have an agent,
Don. Okay, well, let me... Is your agent Donald Ephraim?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
In Chicago.
Yes. Let me say that I...
Also represents Roger Ebert.
Let me say that I'm your agent, and I'm giving you some bad news. Let me hear you react.
Okay.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Donnie. From how are you?
Listen, we've got some news.
What's the news? Is it good, I hope?
The news is that the guarantee for Sopranos never came through. Your contract's not guaranteed.
What? The whole thing? Every bit of it?
You might not get paid for the last 6 or 7 episodes.
How's that assistant of yours, Joe Jughead?
Unless you agree to do a 4th season.
I tell you, that stinks. I'm very upset about that. You know, the whole tray?
Jim, I've never heard you this hot.
I'll tell you, I'm as angry as it gets, Don. And I'm going to fly to Chicago. I'm going to meet with you and your sons. And there'll be hell to pay when I get done. I don't mind telling you that.
Well,
there'll be hell to pay. I'm a serious actor, and I'd like to get some better roles. And I'd like you to negotiate a better deal for me on the Sopranos. The Sopranos, rather.
Well, I've never heard you this hot before.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm very upset, and there's going to be hell to pay, mister. Mind your P's and Q's, just like I told that news fellow.
Can I tell you something, Jim?
Yes, go ahead, Donald.
The anger...
Yes.
The real Jim Gandolfini...
Yeah, the real Jim Gandolfini...
...is as intense as the anger with Tony Soprano.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I know that. I understand that. And are you going to be watching the program?
Oh, I'll watch it Sunday night, yeah.
It's a lovely show. It's really got a great, great energy and a great wit, and we really feel that our next season is going to be our best ever.
Can you go back to being Tony?
Sure. Hold on just a second. A little drink of water. He'll be right there.
Okay.
Fascinating.
Hey, how you doing? Oh, man, I tell you, that's hard to do. I don't mind telling you that. You know, I'd rather do this. Hey, you know, I'd rather do this. It's much easier to be the bad guy. And I heard what you said about his son, okay?
No.
What? All right, but Senior Jughead, fantastic. Oh, man, it's great. Oh, man, I think I'm going to have some lettuce. I got a salad here. You know, I know what the problem is. I know what the problem is with Buzz.
What is the problem there, Tony?
You're a fag.
No. No, that's not true.
You did it just like on the tape where Tony's eating, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to eat a lot, you know. I like to eat ziti, calamari, soup with the mussels. My pussy and I used to like to go out to the restaurants, eat as much as we could. I know it grosses you out when I'm doing this.
Yeah, no,
I try to look in the other direction. You know, like that. Nothing wrong with a guy liking a little food once in a while. That's my let me go by fork. Will you go ahead?
Go back to being Jim for a moment.
Hi. Hi, Don.
What are you doing now?
I'm having a garden salad with some egg and some cheese in it. Mm-hmm. It's delicious. Do you mind if I eat while we speak?
No, go ahead.
Tasty. That's lovely. You can't fault the McDonald's people for this lettuce.
Okay.
Very good.
Go back to being Tony now.
How you doing? Okay, can we get some vinegar? Can we get some vinegar and oil over here to put on the salad? I tell you, this antipasta sucks. It really does. I swear to God right now. Bring some real food out here. Bring some real food out here. Come on, we got a good time. You want to go on my boat sometime? I won't shoot you.
The boat that you killed Big Pussy on?
Yeah, the boat we killed Big Pussy on. That threw his body with a plastic bag weighted down. I tell you, this is good salad. I like this.
Yeah, big pussy. I didn't like whacking him, but, you know, there's a code. Well, I was having the dream when he was a fish. I saw in my dream that he was really, really a bad guy and not a straight shooter. It hurt me. You know, I don't like whacking guys like that. But you know something? He deserved what he got.
And the name of your boat is what? The Stugatz?
I think it's called the Stugatz. Is that the name of my boat? The Stugatz.
The Stugatz.
Hey, Stugatz. Hey, big pussy. He knew he was going to die when he got on the boat.
Can I talk to Jim for one more minute?
Hold on just a second. Hey, Jimmy, come back and play. That was a dog of you. He wants to have something to say to you. Here he comes. Hi, Don.
Hey, Jim.
Delicious salad.
Jim Gandolfini, in real life,
yes,
do you wear the wife beater?
No. No, I don't wear a T-shirt, Don. I wear a shirt with no T-shirt underneath it.
All right, when we come back...
It's not my style.
When we come back and play Jeopardy...
This is Calvin Klein.
Would you rather be James Gandolfini, trained actor, or Tony Soprano?
I believe I and... Many of your listeners would prefer me to stay in the character of Tony Soprano.
Yeah.
So if that's all right with you, I'd like to do that. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Hey, thanks so much.
That's fine.
That's good. I'd love to do that. Really, that's a lovely ensemble you're wearing today, too.
Thank you.
You know, it's great. It looks good. Hey, your brown is your color.
Thank you.
And it's a pleasure to be here, as it always is. Do you like me to bring Tony back now?
No, I enjoyed talking to you for a second.
Well, if I eat this lovely salad at McDonald's?
But before we go to break, listen, 877-365-3636. First two calls right now get to play the game.
Yes.
Did you get a chance to meet, since the last time you were here, we hired Lisa.
Oh, yes, I did, out in the hallway, yes. She's lovely. Very nice young lady. Very, very nice.
Did you see Charlie?
Charles Broyle?
Yeah.
Your producer?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a nice young man. Very, very well behaved, very polite. Welcomed me into your studios and said, you know, here, would you like something to drink? Would you like a cool beverage? And I said, thank you. Thank you, no. Mm. I'll be eating a salad later.
Can I talk to Tony again?
Yeah, just a second. Tony.
Yeah, well, what do you want? How you doing?
Hey, do you mean our new girl, Lisa?
Oh, gee, what a piece of ass. Oh, my God, is that incredible? We're going to get out of the bottom of big. Can we get her for a dance? She'd be good. That'd be fantastic. All right.
Did you meet Charlie Broyhill again?
Hey, what a dick. I'll tell you right now, unbelievable. What a pro dick. Unbelievable. Wrote the dick book. Yeah, I got it. He's on the cover. Okay. Yeah, you go. Yeah. They're all knuckleheads back there. Don't cross me, Roy.
All right. We'll play the game now with the first two callers.
Yeah.
Are you still enjoying that salad?
Oh, fantastic. You know, I'm a little upset about what he said before.
Why?
Well, what he said about my kid.
Yeah. Why does it make you upset?
He's a fag.
We'll be right back with Jeopardy.
Number one, Arbitron rated, the Don and Mike Show.
Any cold pasta?
There was some ziti, but it all got eaten.
The whole tray? From last Sunday? Monsignor Jughead was here.
If you are referring to Father Intintola, yes, he was.
Mm.
He spent the night here.
The priest spent the night here. What happened?
Nothing.
And you're telling me this because...
You might hear something. Take it the wrong way. His car was out front all night.
You know what? This is too f***ed up for me even to think about. What'd you guys do for 12 hours? Play, Name That Pope?
He gave me communion.
Oh, I'll bet he gave you communion.
Excuse me?
Well, Carmelo, the guy spends the night here with you. And all he does is slip you a wafer?
It's verging on sacrilege.
Oh, I didn't mean to verge.
What, you think I'm lying?
I don't know, but the whole thing sounds...
Would I have told you about it voluntarily if there'd been anything to be ashamed of? Do I look like the friggin' thorn bird over here?
He's a fag. That's it. Because otherwise, I got to question what I'm hearing here.
Our thoughts are your utmost concern. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Lord, you don't know could fill a book.
Hey, who was that guy? He's pretty funny, huh?
Hey.
All right, how you doing?
Yeah. Now you're Tony again now.
Hey, how you doing? What's going on? Are you having a good time? You ready for the weekend? All right, rock and roll.
You know, we were finding out during the break what a complex man Jim Gandolfini actually is.
Oh, complex mom-plex. Don't worry about it.
No.
As complex as you need to get me, you know what I mean?
The real Jim Gandolfini
yeah.
is actually quite
soft-spoken.
That's a bunch of crap. He's just a big wuss.
He's very shy.
He ain't from the streets, I'll tell you that right
very
now.
Very unassuming.
You got no guy from the streets, say that Jim Gandolfini right now.
And not a bad thing to say about anybody.
Ah, he's
what do you expect of you, Bob?
He's not meek. He's mild-mannered. You know, he doesn't understand the streets. That's a problem. He's got a problem with understanding the way things work, you know, the way the friends of ours are supposed to behave. And he's never going to understand it because he doesn't come from that. You got to come from that. There's an honor and trust and a code and the way you're supposed to behave, and he doesn't get it. It doesn't dawn on him what's going on. He just likes his, you know, his parties and his Hollywood friends, but he doesn't understand that, you know. You come from the life. That's the way it works.
But, Tony, you realize...
Yeah.
You are Jim Gandolfini.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
You're making me mad right now. Come on, what's this? I am James Gandolfini.
You are.
I'm Anthony Soprano.
No, you are James Gandolfini.
Oh, come on, don't feed me that bull. That's a bunch of baloney. You come on right now. Wait, what are you, Stu Gatz?
And you're also the guy in The Mexican.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
And you're also the guy in Get Shorty.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, don't hurt me like that.
Why am I hurting you?
You're hurting me. You're making me get all dizzy and sweaty. I don't want to be dizzy and sweaty. I don't want to be Jim Gandolfini. I want to be Tony Soprano. Come on!
All right, Tony.
The whole tray? Sorry, I didn't mean the beach.
Tony, we're going to play a low-budget Jeopardy now. Who do we Who do we have here?
Okay, this is a low-budget Jeopardy. Now under the studio's a security guard. Uh-oh. Watch out, the law is here. From York, Pennsylvania, let's say that to Jay Halicki.
Hello, Jay.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
All right, and now in the studio is our champion. This lady or guy, I'm not sure, has $55. Lab technician from Reno, Nevada. All right, where there's gambling and broad.
Hi, everybody.
Gene Bauer.
Hi, Gene. Hey, Tony, a bit of advice, though. If you go to Reno, avoid Harris.
Hey, no problem. Don't worry about it. They're not friends of ours anyway.
Gotcha.
Okay? The friends of ours are at Cal Neva. Yeah, baby. And now we're in the studios to host the Low Budget Jeopardy. Hey, Gene and Jay, no screw with LQ, all right?
Screw with LQ.
And let's say hi to Alex Trebek Geronimo. Hey!
Hey!
Hey! All right.
Hello, Gene. Hello, Jay. Don't forget to answer the forum question. Leave my mom or come outside. Super Mr. Guy, call me Alex. We're playing the game. This LQ and Chris Webster always call him Tony Soprano.
Yeah, right back at you. Okay, don't forget about it.
Big T. Here are your categories, kids. They are.
Good categories. I love categories.
Name that Tony.
Hey, that's a good category. You're making me happy right now.
Kicked off Survivor 2.
Oh, I don't watch that. I'm out. I'm out late.
Which came first?
That's a good one. That's when you try to figure out what's what, right? Is that the way that works? Yeah. What's what?
Right.
All right, what's over here? What's over there? When it was here, when it was there?
You got some B.O.
I do have B.O. I've been out all night. I've been out all night with my Russian whore.
New on home video.
Ah, videos. I got some videos. Curl your hair. I got different kind of videos. You know what I mean?
Space and Capitals.
Videos with guys going, you know, we show them to the guys.
Here they are, one more time.
All right.
Name that Tony.
Tony!
Kicked off Survivor 2.
Survivor.
Which came first.
All right.
New on home video.
Yeah, knock your socks off.
States and Capitals.
States and Capitals. It's good for the kids. It's good to get a good education so you don't end up like me.
You know who said that?
Who's that?
Buzz.
Huh?
He said he would like to tutor AJ. Okay.
Wait a minute. You talked about this last year. You're telling me that he's not...
What? Said he wants to tutor your son.
I bet he wants to tutor my son. I bet he's got a tutor over there. No. Yeah, he's not going to see your tutor. You understand who you're looking at, all right? I'll be watching you, okay?
I know.
I'll be watching you.
That's why I'm on my best behavior.
Right, yeah, hey, Robbie.
See, the actual quote was he wanted to help AJ matriculate.
Hey, what?
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, you're in big trouble there, Burbank.
I don't know why they're doing this.
When you get
this.
Done with your news, okay? I'll go down to your car, okay?
You know what he said?
Not
he wants
true.
To see AJ's protractor.
Hey, I'll tell you right now, all of you knock it off. You get me upset here. I'm going to start getting this sweat and the cold sweat. You know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to saw off your kneecap and I'm going to feed it to you like it's a pancake, okay?
No,
and I'm going to do it to you gurgle and you spit your own blood up because you don't have any teeth. It's going to be gross. You're going to fall on the floor. All right?
No, please don't.
Yeah, no way. You don't seem upset. You'll be upset later. When he comes on Monday, it's like, okay, time for news with the... Ooh, where's the chair? Look at the chair. It's empty. It's an empty chair because he's out in the swamp somewhere.
Stunned. Yeah. I didn't do
it. Be stunned. You're too calm. Calm and cool. Collected. I'll be going out to your appearance tonight at the hotel.
That's what worries me.
That's right. I'll be out there. I'll be in row 3. Row 3 with a scope.
Yeah, you know that Rob and Buzz are doing a show tonight.
Yeah, I understand. I'm going out there afterwards. We've got a couple of draws. Friday night. Girlfriend night.
Not really a show.
Girlfriend night. Friday night.
If you like what you see, have us out to the Bing.
Absolutely. Bada Bing. But, you know, we don't do that kind of entertainment, you know?
that.
Ruffino.
You know what Buzz said?
Ruffino.
He was thinking about opening up BB Bing.
What's that?
Boys Bada Bing.
No. Near my Bada Bing?
Yeah, where he would get all young boys, AJ's name,
what?
Dancing on stage. So he would call it Boys Bada Bing.
Let me see if I read you. If I read you correctly.
Yeah.
You're telling me that he's going to open up a club for boys?
No, a club for men.
A dancing men?
No. Dancing boys.
What?
And he wants AJ to dance there.
I'll tell you right now, that's it. That's it.
No.
That's it. This conversation's going to conclude.
No,
this conversation never happened. Because right now I'm going to take care of it the way I do. The old-fashioned way. With a piece of Cordino wire around his throat as I pull out that big, bloody voice of his. I'll tell you right now, you're in so much trouble.
He's going to call it Balzabing.
Balzabing. Okay, I got his Balzabing. You know what? When we're done with him, the balls are going to go big. But it's not going to be the real.
This is the end of the Don and Mike Show. Find out what happens next.